Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doc, you homie. Fuck that. Black me. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Saturday, December 22nd, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. This is going to be a pretty much complete football podcast. I really don't have a whole lot of wrestling to talk about. And before I get into anything, let me just, you know, preface it on, you know, the reasons why I didn't do a show on Wednesday and then what's going to go on, you know, coming up and stuff like that. All right, so come Wednesday, I really didn't watch a lot of wrestling. I skimmed over Raw and stuff, and I don't know. I just felt like, you know, just wasn't in the mood to do it. You know, I obviously did want to talk about football, but I was just like, you know, I was tired, and I was like, I'm going to end up just babbling and trying to figure out what I want to say and what I want to do, and I'm just like, you know, I'm just not feeling it. I was like, so you know what? I'll make up the football aspect of it over the weekend. So that's what I'm doing tonight. Now, a lot of the reason, too, that I wasn't feeling it, I wasn't into it, is because, you know, I've gotten accustomed to do the show by myself. I have really no issue or awkwardness about doing the solo show because I've now done it for such a long time that I'm really comfortable with it. But sometimes it gets a little boring just because, you know, well, shit, I banter to yourself for 2 hours straight. I mean, you're either on a radio show by yourself or you're a crazy person. If you sit there talking to nobody but yourself for two straight hours, I mean, you might be a little of both. I mean, even on a radio show, you know, but it is what it is. And again, I don't have a problem with doing it, but you know, kind of needed just to like mix it up a little bit. Interviews are cool, but you know, the interviews go okay, you know, standard interview, do the thing. You know, and I do those and they're cool, but you know, time to time you miss having a co-host, someone to banter with or whatever. And I'm still not, you know, set on having any kind of permanent co-host because I am still comfortable with just doing my show, you know what I mean, the way I want. So I decided within the next couple weeks, I want to start having guest co-hosts. I had, you know, teased that a while back, and I did it with Blackie did it, and, you know, I did the thing like that. So I decided, you know, let me put the feelers out, and let me, you know, contact some people, put out open invitation, the whole nine. And, you know, some of the people I contacted and some of the people, you know, that I just put out the open invitation, I got a good response. So on Wednesday, be the last show of the year, and my guest co-host will be Chrissy Rivera. You know, many know her as, you know, First Lady of CZW. She was valet for the Blackout for tons of time, and now she is the part of Four Loko. So, yeah, I mean, she's going to co-host with me on Wednesday. And then the following show, which will actually be the first show of the new year, will be co-hosted by Yolanda. And, you know, anybody who knows, you know, Yakuza, I mean, you probably heard Yolanda on here before. Yolanda did my shirts. She's also the host of the Shiznet over there. She's a riot. I mean, you get her on the radio, she's just a ton of fun to talk to. I mean, she's crazy as hell. So... So it's going to be a lot of fun. I got some others, you know, lined up after that too. But like I was saying online, let me just take it 2 weeks at a time, at least for now. And they should be fun shows. You know, got a bunch of topics and stuff lined up. I'm going to watch some more wrestling going into Wednesday. So I'm going to have wrestling to talk about. I'm going to have a bunch of other topics I'm biting my tongue on because I'm going to save them for Wednesday. And including some thoughts on the holidays and all of that. But like I said, tonight, I just want to, you know, get into football because I can't let a week go by that I don't talk about football. I don't do my picks. I don't do exactly what, you know, what I want to do football-wise. So, and anybody is welcome to call in. I do believe I'm going to have Chef Dube calling in from you know, the Boston area. Boston. No matter, I'm not really sure how to do the accent. There's different variations, but I'm not from there. So what? I'll have him nail it down. I think he might be calling in around 10 or whatever, but anybody who would like to call in, you know, talk some football shit with me, number is 347-215-8300. So, yeah, holla at me. And, all right, so just to, you know, get into some stuff right off the bat, you know, I'm not doing my picks just yet. I'm going to do my picks later on in the show. But, you know, the pool that I'm in, I'm sitting there in second place. The leader's got 124 wins, and I got 122 wins. So, I mean, I'm right behind them. And then there's a couple people tied with a, you know, 121, like two people tied with 121. So, I mean, I'm heading into the final 2 weeks of this season looking pretty fucking good, and I'm pretty excited about it. So, I think that's what the count is there. Yeah, that's the count. So I'm definitely hyped up on doing these picks, and definitely going to be hopefully on my game for the next 2 weeks and taking some shit home. So, you know, it's the most I can hope for. Let me see. Okay. Last week's scores. All right. Yeah, the week started out Thursday football. You had the Bengals beating the Eagles. I mean, you know, Eagles putting up five turnovers. I mean, what can you say? You know, you got Foles in the game. You know, he throws a touchdown, but, you know, that's about it. You know, what can you expect out of the Eagles at this point? Well, I mean, you could expect the majority of the overweight coaches in the NFL, I think, are going to be fired in the offseason. You know, Andy Reid is going to be one of the first, I think. I think there's no other way around it at this point. How many, you know, quarterbacks can you swap out? The majority of their other talent, you know, was hurt during the year. So I don't know if, you know, any bad play calling put them into bad situations or what. You know, injuries happen. You can't just blame the coach for an injury, but it just seems like you know, everybody just gets thrown through a wood chipper on that team, and they turn the ball over nonstop, and they're just a horrible team, which I love because I hate the Eagles, so it's all good. But, yeah, I think that walrus-looking motherfucker is gone after the year. They're sitting at 4-10 right now, you know. Guys, I don't. It only brings a smile to my face because I can't stand the motherfuckers. But yeah, the Bengals 8-6. I mean, they've looked really good and they've looked not so great. I mean, even against the Eagles, Dalton only threw for 127 yards, and that's a defense that you could really, really take advantage of. So, you know, 34-13 is a nice route and everything, but you know, when it's five turnovers that made it happen. I mean, a win's a win, and 34-13 looks good on my book, but I'm just saying, like, that should have been a big passing day for a really, really weak Philadelphia secondary, especially, you know, this nonstop talk. I can't get over how much Awesome Law was hyped up going into the Eagles. And, yeah, he was apparently a shutdown corner for the Raiders, who really, in my recent memory, weren't shutting a lot of anybody down. But he was such a shutdown corner, and he went to the Eagles, and I've watched people run by this guy all year long. Anytime I'm watching the Eagles games, or I'm not even really watching Eagles games, or I'm on Red Zone, and whoever's scoring against the Eagles, which is everybody, is just running clear past this dude. He's just like, his feet are just spinning in the air. Like, it boggles my mind where you would label this guy a shutdown corner. I mean, I don't think this guy's got a job next year either. We're talking about a guy they paid boatloads of money and just really put it on there like, yeah, our defense, it will be defined by this. Honestly, as far as the Philadelphia defense goes, I think their biggest fucking where they went wrong was getting rid of Brian Dawkins, because whether he was up there in age or not, he was the leader of their defense. You let that go. Who took over? I don't know. I don't know what the leader of the Philadelphia Eagles defense is at this point. So I think that's a big, big issue. You don't have a defensive leader. You clearly don't have an offensive leader. You guys are between quarterbacks. You're doing all sorts of different shit. The coach isn't considered a leader at this point. I mean, he's, like I said, he's pretty much out the door now. He's been, like, on the chopping block almost every year by the end of the season. So, I mean, the Eagles got some serious problems. And again, I don't have a problem with it because I really can't stand them. And the Eagle fans couldn't be more irritating when they win games. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm just saying that's kind of the things that I think are wrong there. The Bengals, like I said, they're kind of night and day. So if you catch the good Bengals, I mean, Dalton could blow it up. And, you know, they've been able to obviously come through on defense, you know, a certain amount of times. Really depends. I mean, depends on what team shows up. They're not a unstoppable team, but when they're on fire, I mean, they're a pretty hard team. They put up big points. So, yeah, like I said, even in a game where you had one rushing and one passing touchdown, you still put up 34 points. It's, you know, it's not a bad go. So you find a way to do it. But, again, we're talking the Eagles. So next game up you had the Falcons shutting out the New York Giants. The defending champs get shut out 34-0. Now, I mean, a team, you know, with the Falcons, you know, they were undefeated for so long and people wanted to put them on a pedestal. And I don't know. I just wasn't so sure about that. I'm skeptical of unbeaten teams because the record gets put on such a higher pedestal than what the team's actually playing. Like, I mean, you could beat nothing but 500 teams and be undefeated. And then the team who's, you know, lost the game to, you know, a playoff team, now they're looked at like a worse team. So I never really buy into that whole undefeated stuff and all that. So, you know, I was of course skeptical because of that, but I mean, the Falcons have come through really strong when needed to. And clearly right here was a great example of that. I mean, Matt Ryan, 23 for 28, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, you know, numbers like that is going to be really hard to deal with. And, you know, to shut down the Giants to the extent of an actual just complete shutout, that's not the easiest thing to do. And normally this is the time of year where the Giants kind of turn it up. They usually falter, you know, November-ish, and they bounce back and squeak into the playoffs. And, you know, they're going to have to squeak into the playoffs at this point. They've already lost their number one you know, their divisional place. They could gain it back, but they got a little bit of a hill to climb there. So, I mean, their position is going to really depend on what they do. I will laugh my ass off if they miss the playoffs because, I mean, shit. Obviously, the Giants are a team that are going to give you a hard time in the playoffs. You know, no bullshit about it. Eli Manning's a beast. I mean, anybody with that last name is going to fucking have the possibility of putting 400 or 500 yards on your ass. And, I mean, that's tough to deal with. So it's another one of those teams. If they're on, they're on, and you got issues. So yeah, that's that. And I mean, Atlanta, I mean, to make a statement going towards the playoffs, if that doesn't make a statement, I don't know what does. Cause you know, the shutout to last year's fucking Super Bowl champions, 34-0, is definitely a statement and a half. So that was that. The Packers beat the Bears 21-13. You know, they won the NFC North title with that. I have no faith in the Bears. I really don't. The Bears have completely fallen off. They blamed it a lot of times. The Bears are now 8-6, pretty much not going to the playoffs. They got, I think, slim chance, but they really got to, like, they got to do, like, some crazy shit, and I don't even think it lines up in their favor at all. But they blamed it on Jay Cutler being out for a couple games, and clearly he came back, and it did not prove that. You know, the announcers never stopped saying, oh, this is a completely different team with and without Jay Cutler. Well, okay, so what's the, you know, excuse for losing so many other games with Jay Cutler? I mean, you had guys making all sorts of statements on the Bears. Oh, this one's personal. We're coming for blame. Yeah, whatever, dude. You put up 13 points. Fucking Aaron Rodgers throws 3 touchdowns, 291 yards. What do you want to do? I mean, Cutler's 12 for 21. So, yeah, there's your Jay Cutler team that is so different and so much harder to beat with Jay Cutler. You know, I don't know. And the Packers, I'm sorry, I'm not sold on the Packers. They might be 10-4, and, you know, people are all, here come the real Packers. Yeah, the real Packers still don't have a defense. I don't care, you know, with your fucking Vince Neil fucking linebackers over there. I don't, that shit doesn't sell me. I'm sorry. You're not going to, you know, pull the fucking hairband out and make any statement against me because I've seen the Packers defense get blown up. Aaron Rodgers, again, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that are defined by their fantastic quarterbacks, and that's great, but when you have a whole lot of holes on your team, you can't just rely on that team taking home the win no matter what, because, again, you're relying on one phenomenal quarterback, and shit, props to you for having that guy, but you got to be able to back it up on the other side of the ball, and I mean, we beat them in Lambeau, fucking first week of the season, straight up, you know? And this is the thing, is like, it seems like when we get wins, people are like, yeah, I'm still not convinced. But before the game goes, they're like, nah, I'm going with Green Bay. No, I'm going with New England. I'm going with Chicago. Then we come out with the win, and it's like, yeah, I still don't know about those guys. Well, shit. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Of course, I'm biased. I'm a Niner fan. But I'm just saying, like, everybody's got to tell me how good these other teams are, and a few of them have been beat, you know, and we're still unproven, or I don't know. And I know the quarterback thing. Believe me, I'll get into the quarterback thing. But, yeah, so that's that. Bears 10-4, going to the playoffs. The Redskins beat the Browns 38-21. Without RG3. So RG3 goes out. Cousins comes in. And, you know, I mean, shit. 2 touchdowns, 329 yards in his first career start. That looks better than Jay Cutler's game by far. So, shit. Yeah. I mean, you know, Morris rushed for 2 touchdowns. Cousins threw for 2. I mean, Washington is a scary team, and if you're able to do those type of things, and shit, if London Fletcher hasn't been reborn in this fucking season, like, RG3 went there and he just like, fuck, I got another 10 years in me. Like, this dude's a veteran and he's playing, like, fresh as hell. So, I don't know. The Redskins are a scary team. I still think that they're going to take it. I called it when this year started, you know, me and Nick and him, we went down the line and talked about, you know, who we thought was going to win each division. And I said the Redskins. I think the Redskins are winning that division. You know, spoiler alert. And fucking right now, they're doing it. RG3 is back. He's been cleared to play. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It's game time right now. I mean, yeah, and he not only is he cleared to play, he's cleared to play against the fucking Eagles. Okay? And then the Giants got to go over there and play Baltimore. So, I mean, those are two completely drastically different games. I'm not saying that the Giants can't come out with that win. I'm just saying, like, there's some hill climbing to do right now, and the Redskins are kind of on the top of that hill. The way that they're playing and, you know, the stuff that RG3 is doing out there, and to know that he's out of the game and you're still beating the Browns, which, again, you're 5-9 Browns, but that defense played tougher than a lot of teams out there this year. You know, they'd have scrappy games where they barely lost. A lot of their games were lost by less than 7 points. So, I mean, it's just something you got to look at, you know. You know, win's a win's a loss, but if you could come in there with your backup quarterback, you know, and put 38 points on the board, and then your superstar is coming back next week against a team whose defense is not as good as the Browns. I still think that they're going to pick up some things in the offseason. The Browns are actually going to be decent within the next couple years. But, you know. So, there you go. Vikings at the Rams. The Vikings beat the Rams 36-22. Adrian Peterson. I'm going to get into it a little more a little later, but this is my MVP right here. I don't think the Vikings would be anywhere near what they are without him. And, I mean, shit, he could break the single-season rushing record this year, which, I mean, Eric Dickerson still holds. So that tells you, I mean, we've been through – you know, your Curtis Martins, your LaDainian Tomlinsons, your Barry Sanders, your Emmitt Smiths, we've gone through all these phenomenal running backs that haven't cracked that record. So when it comes down to, you know what I mean, like Adrian Peterson, knee surgeries, ACL, MCL, all sorts of shit he's been through, and this guy's possibly going to crack the fucking single season record, which is, you know, yet to be seen because, you know, he's got to play. I think he's playing Houston this week. They're playing Houston. So, you know, Houston's defense shows up big. I think he needs like 300 yards. So he's got to put up like a 150 a game. And, not sure if he can, but if anyone can, I mean, you're talking Adrian Peterson for sure. So, yeah, they went and beat the Rams. And that's that. Even that, man. I mean, Sam Bradford went in there. He threw for 377 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had to throw 55 passes to do that shit. I mean, he was 35 for 55. I mean, that's not the best ratio, but, I mean, I guess if you're able to do that, come up with 377 yards, that's not too bad. But again, I mean, the Rams, I think they really only have one team's number, and we all know who that is. The Dolphins and the Jaguars. The Dolphins won 24-3. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the Dolphins are kind of an up-and-coming team. They're nowhere near where they need to be. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are, I think, London bound, or isn't that where they're shipping the team off to? Yeah, I mean, they're the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're one of the worst teams in the league, and this is why they're shopping them out to other countries, which I still think is a horrible idea, just horrendous idea to do. So, I mean, we'll have to see where that goes or whatever, but yeah, the Jaguars, come on. 6-8 Dolphins, 2-12 Jaguars. Yeah, man. Then you got the Saints go in there and blow up the Buccaneers. 41-0. Both teams sit at 6-8. No chance at the playoffs. And but holy shit, did the Saints just make a statement against the Bucs. And, you know, 4 touchdowns out of Drew Brees. Another one of those teams, I'm telling you, that quarterback is, you know, he's above and beyond most of the league. He's just one of those special quarterbacks. But, you know, they got a lot of holes, too. I mean, this is a defense that was putting bounties on people last year and, you know, bragging about how hard they hit. And, again, I watched Philly's offense run up and down the field on them. They couldn't tackle running backs. They couldn't tackle anybody. And it wasn't just McCoy. It was, like, the other dude, too, was just, like, just slashing through their lines and secondary and everything. It was crazy. I mean, they ended up winning the game, but they sure made it hard on themselves because they didn't do a lot of tackling. So, I don't know. But, yeah, they blew up the Tampa Bay Bucks. And, like I said, ended their chances at playoffs. So, but, I mean, what were the Bucks like? They had, like, 2 wins last year. I mean, he's still talking a drastic improvement. So, you know, what can you do? The Broncos beat the Ravens. 11-3 Broncos. They won 34-17. You know, Peyton Manning threw for 204 yards. Flacco put up 254, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, you know, I mean, Peyton Manning was he's one of, you know, he's a field general. I mean, you get that guy out there, he knows how to control the field. He's half an offensive coordinator mixed with a quarterback. I mean, you can just continue to parrot these statements out year after year with Peyton Manning because no matter where he is, he's going to do things. And they've done a good job at protecting him this year. That was something I was concerned about going into this year, that if the chemistry wasn't there and they weren't able to protect the quarterback better than they did with Tebow back there, because when Tebow was back there, it was like, run for your life, Tebow. And that's where Tebow ended up making plays. And it came down to, you know, people still calling him not a quarterback and stuff like that, which, again, you know, they have their case. But I mean, he had to make plays on his feet. Now you're talking about a guy coming off severe neck surgery, missing a season, you know, having a great mind for offense, but in the same token, is he going to need to move like Tebow to survive back there? And the answer is no. I mean, he knows how to play calls. He can read the defense. He can move guys around. He can get his protection that way. And that's obviously what he did because, you know, look at the Broncos, man. They're headed right in. And, shit, you know, beat the Ravens, another team who's supposed to be one of the top teams in the AFC. So he put himself right back in one of those spots like the Colts were when he was over there. Seamlessly, like really, he picked up where he left off, more or less. So it's going to be some interesting football come, you know, playoffs. I mean, we're 2 weeks away. So the Colts, speaking of the Colts, the Texans went in and rolled on them. They took the AFC South crown. Texans beat them 29-17. You know, Andrew Luck, he's been pretty consistent. He's still putting up yards, still throwing touchdowns. Gotta be in the running for Rookie of the Year. I'd like to get some other people's opinions on who they feel will be the Rookie of the Year. I'll talk about that later. But, you know, I mean, Houston, they're 12-2 for a reason. They're able to play ball, that's for sure. Again, I kind of felt the same way with the Falcons. Like, okay, undefeated. Now show me, you know, scrap with the, you know, some tough teams and stuff, and they're definitely able to do that. We're gonna see what goes on. I mean, the Texans are up against the Vikings, and there's gonna be a lot of testing come playoff time. But the Texans are one of those teams. They fell just short, you know, going there last year, and yeah, I mean, what can you say? You know, super upstart team with the Colts. You can't be upset 9-5 with the Colts. They may very well get in themselves. And shit. I mean, to go from Peyton Manning to, you know, rookie quarterback and playoff bound, I mean, that's, I don't think you could ask for more than, you know, starting a rookie and going to the playoffs. That's pretty impressive shit. So, let me see. Then you had the Seahawks beat the living shit out of the Bills. The Bills, Seahawks beat them 50-17. Now, you know, another rookie, Wilson, threw for 205 yards. You had Marshawn Lynch rush for 113 yards. And, you know, they just put it on them. I mean, they scored in the teens every quarter but the fourth. You had 14 in the first, 17 in the second, 16 in the third, and then they just topped off the game with another field goal in the fourth. But, you know, shut out the Bills in the second half. I mean, we're talking about the Bills. I mean, let's not get it twisted. But in the same token, you know, 50 points for the second week in a row, actually. And, I mean, pretty impressive shit. And now, you know, now they gotta deal with, you know, some real shit, in my opinion, because, you know, we were getting this whole rap, same kind of rap we were getting on the Pats. And, you know, well, shit. You know, it's not that easy. So, but yeah, Seahawks are definitely a different team than the first time we played them. And I'll wait till I do my picks to get into that whole thing. But, yeah, 50 points 2 weeks in a row, there's definitely something to be said to that, whether it's the Bills or whether it's not. I mean, that's Patriot-type shit going into the, you know, end stretch of the season and putting up like 100-something points in two games. It's impressive one way or another. Great, my computer's fucking up. All right, so then you got the Cardinals beat the Lions. And the Lions, they're just not that good. I mean, they're really not consistent at all. The Cardinals sure as shit ain't consistent, and they made it that easy with them. I don't know. You know, three picks, you know, that's not good. And right now they're battling with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's up 14-3, so it's not exactly a war. But, I mean, they're, you know, they're keeping in it. And let's see what goes on there. The Panthers beat the shit out of the Chargers, which I really didn't see coming because, I mean, I know Cam Newton came off of a beastly game, and I probably should have seen that and went, okay, well, he's going to turn the corner now and do some shit. But I just didn't see anything more than that. And the Chargers, I thought, were trying to do something with themselves. You know, record aside, we're trying to, like, you know, put up some kind of... Now, who did they beat the other week? Beat someone they didn't expect them to, like the Ravens or somebody, I think. I didn't see that coming. So, yeah, I mean, they beat the Chargers 31-7. It was just nonstop. It was early and often. It was 21 points in the first quarter. I mean, it's seemingly unstoppable to the Chargers. Let me see what I can do with this fucking computer. This shit sucks. All right. Let's do the iPad thing. The Cowboys beat the Steelers. The Cowboys are now 8-6. The Steelers are 7-7. And to me, that's a pretty surprising fact that the Steelers are 7-7 at this point. I know they went without Ben for a couple games, but I'm kind of at the point now which – what season do they not go without Ben for a couple of games? So it's kind of like par for the course with them. Like they're not the type of team that has a healthy quarterback for the whole year. They've kind of done this and they seem to bounce back and they seem to be pretty consistent. I don't think their defense has been half as tough as they were in the past couple of years, honestly, but I mean, what can you do? You know, Romo throwing for 341 yards. Yikes. I mean, that's not. I mean, Roethlisberger, he put up 339 yards and two touchdowns. And still, I mean, lost to the fucking Cowboys. So, in OT, I mean, but still. I don't think anyone should be going to OT with the Cowboys. I don't give the Cowboys a lot of credit for being that good. I mean, the 8-6 record, I don't know. I really don't see them as that, badass of a team. I don't see them as any type of contender, because if they squeak their way in there, I mean, Tony Romo is not going to lead them to a Super Bowl anytime in my lifetime, his lifetime, or anybody's. So that's just my opinion on that. But let me see what the fuck is going on. This shit keeps freezing up. But so then you had the Raiders beat the Chiefs, and I don't think anyone really cared. You had three shutouts in 1 week. That doesn't happen all the time. So, but again, I don't think anyone cared about that game at all. Unless you had some kind of fantasy implications and, 15-0, you didn't really bank on that shit either. So, well, then, of course, you have the next game. And, of course, I got to play my thing. And my stupid computer's freezing up. So let me see. I got to just bear with me. So you had
San Francisco
going into New England, where everybody told me that nobody's beaten New England December in New England. It's just not happening. It doesn't happen. It's not happening. Well, it happened. It fucking happened. I'll say this. We came out strong as hell. I mean, we were, it was 17-3 at the half. Niners, we put up another 14 in the third quarter. And finally, New England put up 7. I mean, we gave up the next 24 points. I mean, it was just Tom Brady being Tom Brady. Because no maybes about it. The guy's a beast. I'm not a Brady hater. I've never been a Brady hater, And he's a beast. I mean, what can you say? He's going to score points. I mean, honestly, I think when you play New England, you got to hope that you can score as many points as they do. And we did that early. Obviously, he hit Brady mode during the game. And our defense did what they had to do to get us in that position. And then he went into Brady mode. What are you going to do? If anyone could beat your defense, like a guy like Tom Brady is going to be the guy who does it. The fact that he threw for fucking 443 yards, and still lost the game, it says something for our team. Again, 36 for 65. I mean, he just kept throwing the fucking ball. I mean, 65 fucking pass attempts is, shows that we were definitely keeping him on his toes. We were definitely putting it on him, and we didn't make it easy. I mean, Kaepernick, man, he dropped the ball a couple times. This is the type of shit I'm talking about with the growing pains. It's scary stuff, man. You don't find a lot of comfort in a guy who's dropping a ball like that. He dropped the ball, fucking Gore picked it up and ran into the end zone. He should have blew him on the field right there, because that shit would have been disastrous. I mean, New England could have scooped that shit and took it to the house. I mean, I don't know, man. They got to be able to stay consistent, and that was the one problem I had from the start with this Kaepernick and, an Alex Smith thing. Alex was pretty consistent. I mean, obviously, in years past, we had huge, huge problems with them. And believe me, I would have been the first to tell you that any day of the year. But, dude, I think it was two games. I keep saying it, but I think it was two games before his concussion. He went 18 for 19. That's consistency. I mean, the guy won the majority of his games as a starter in the past 2 years. He barely threw picks. I mean, they had that bad game against the Giants and whatnot, but he barely threw picks otherwise. I mean, very, very consistent. And obviously, Kaepernick's a playmaker. he's going to continue to make plays. He's going to run those 50-yard runs here and there. Can he consistently win games, not turn the ball over, those type of things? That's going to be the story to be told come playoff time, and we're going to have to see. You know, so I'm definitely excited going into the playoffs, but, you know, the nervousness going through me during that whole game was just bananas. I mean, it does shit. We got up so quick and early and you know, and big. It was just like, oh, fuck, we're going to start tucking this shit away. And no, you just can't with Tom Brady. So, you know, he came right on back like you would expect Brady to do. And, you know, thankfully we were able to make some plays down the end and still put the game away. So that's what it is there, man. I very proud of that fucking win, man. Winning in New England in December, you know, we're 10-3-1 now, you know, right now still sitting in the number two seed in the NFC and, yeah, forcing ahead from there. Last game, you got the Titans beat the Jets 14-10. I know, again, this is another one of those games that no one gives a shit about. I don't get it. I mean, it's just this whole quarterback shit at the Jets, too. I don't even understand. They're starting the third string this coming week. So it's not Sanchez. It's not Tebow. Now we're talking third string quarterback. So shit, I don't even know where to go with that. They got big issues. And like I said, all the fat coaches are getting fired, and this is another one. So he better hope fucking Adam Sandler's got some more movie roles for him, because this is the last time he's going to be coaching over there, you know. And I don't know, where do these guys get hired otherwise? Are they going to get hired as, like, you know, offensive or defensive coordinators and shit? Because, I mean, Rex is still, I guess, kind of young in the league. But, like, an Andy Reid, like, how long did he fail for and they continue to spare his job or only get so far and, you know, fall flat? I mean, I don't know if Andy Reid gets another job in the NFL. And there's a lot of quarterbacks within those situations that are going to end up in other places because, well, shit, quarterbacks aren't that easy to come by. You know, coaches aren't either, but you're not going to strap yourself to a coach that was strapped to somebody else that was fucking up for years. I mean, it's not like there's any Super Bowl wins going on those squads, but they got issues. I mean, and the Titans aren't a good team. So, you know, 5-9 Titans, 6-8 Jets, you know, 14-10, big win. Yeah, so that's that. I'm going to take a break and then come back, talk some more other shit, and then do the picks and that whole nine. Let me see where I got my tracks at. Yeah, it's just a little bit more of a pain in the ass with the iPad because you got to fucking scroll with your hand and shit. All right. Check it out.
Yeah. Yo, gotta be Pete hating, the fist to your face, claim Muhammad Ali shaking, fist full of chips, great, it gotta be Pete taking, whip you a chimp fit, you gotta be Pete aping. I sell white rock and clap cannons, I'm old school like white rock, soda and backgammon. Rap famine, Sean is a starving artist, I gain a lot of weight cause the nigga eating regardless. You a target, you talking about bullseye. You a target, employee, a good guy. Good guy. It ain't nothing wrong with that, nigga. It ain't nothing wrong with this. I make something strong with rap, nigga. And guess what? The nigga next up, he can't make a song for shit. B, mad smart, no Cornell West shit. But I can make death ring your doorbell next shit. I told y'all I'm with the family, chill. Don't sleep a phone call or get your family killed. B, gotta be Sean. Gotta be who body the song. Cause Brown's ill, gotta be on. Rough is you wrong. Gotta be the fuck is you on. Popping pills, shopping grills. What the fuck is you doing? Gotta be the best rat
rapping and spitting, clapping a minute. Gotta let these niggas know who's still actually living.
It gotta be peace slapping the fifth to your face shake. I gotta be relapsing. Spit in your face, mate. It gotta be peace laughing. Gift from the eighth grade, it gotta be peace clapping. I can't stand around you rich niggas. If me, leave your team seem like a fish dinner. But the new shit burgundy. Whip, new kick straight from Munich, Germany. My network, we making your neck jerk. Expert, we're never benevolent, stand burst. Bang, bang. The most time in the flow. Yo, your whole shit dead, toe tag on the flow. Venomous speech, rappers play pretend with the beat. Hit with the knife, good night, then I slip him to sleep.
Good night,
nigga, General P, and the kid alike, the Confederate General Lee. Brr.
Got it, fuck on. Gotta be who body the song. Brownsville, L, gotta be on. Ruck is you wrong. Gotta be the fuck is you on. Poppin' pills, shopping grills, what the fuck is you doing? Gotta be the best rapper that's been it, clap in a minute. Gotta let these niggas know who's still actually living.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of different other things going on. You got the records that are possibly going to be broken. I mean, you got Calvin Johnson that's going after Jerry Rice's receiving record, his yardage record, single season yardage. He went into this game, and I've seen him make a couple catches. He went into this game 1,667 yards. Jerry Rice came in with 1,848 yards. So, you know, he's coming up on him, needs a couple hundred, but I mean, Calvin Johnson's a beast. Will Detroit do it for him? I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, you got this game right here against Atlanta, and, shit. I mean, he's got some work to do, but it's very, very possible. Then you got Adrian Peterson, who needs 294 yards to break Eric Dickerson's 2,105-yard mark. And that's the thing, like I said. I mean, he's got to go up against Houston. Let me see what they got. Houston. They got Houston this week. And then they finish out the season against the Packers. So again, I mean, two teams that got a lot. I mean, Houston doesn't have a lot to prove. I mean, they're kind of locked in, I think, for the most part. But you know, the Packers, I mean, they're still fighting to, you know, make sure that I don't know, because I think they won the division straight up. So I mean, I don't know if it comes down to pulling people out or what's going to go on there. But I mean, they definitely got some shit on the line. That's a big record right there. I mean, like I said, all these tremendous running backs that never broke that record over time, like AP, he's doing his fucking thing. That's why, to me, I go MVP with him. But and then the other record you got, both my dude Aldon Smith and J.J. Watt have 19.5 sacks. And they're three away from Strahan. He had 22.5. So, you know what I mean? Like, within two games, Alden needs three sacks, or Watt needs three sacks. And, you know what I mean? So, very, very possible. We definitely got to get at dude. We got to get at Wilson. I don't know if you're, expecting three sacks in a game or anything. We close out the season against Arizona. So, I mean, he could definitely pull a sack and a half, something like that over there. But I'd like to see him put one up against Seattle. That would kind of help solidify things. Again, we're talking Houston. They're going into Minnesota. And, they have that. And then who does Houston play last game of the season? Let me see. Houston. Trying to see. This is the first time I scrolled down. Okay, yeah, they play the Colts last game of the season. So, I mean, it's not the easiest road for either one of these guys, but, man, they're beasting out this year.
And yeah, it'd be great to see my guy do it. I know that much, but shit, fucking you do. The real cool thing too, I think, you know, with what Alden he's doing is he's donating $5,099. Yeah, $5,099 for every sack he makes. He's up to like $99,000 to the Boys and Girls Club for every sack he makes. So, like, he's up to almost $100,000, you know, putting towards some real shit. You know what I mean? And that's respect, man. He's only a second-year player. And, you know, instead of just doing dumb shit, he's at least, you know, while setting a record, and I'm sure, you know, he's got to be getting some cocky attitude with it. But in the same token, he's also doing a good thing with what he's doing. So, you know, that's much respect to that shit. So, yeah, those are some things. MVP. There's another big question. Now, MVP, who are we talking? And we're talking, obviously, you know, usual suspects. You know, they're talking the, you know, Aaron Rodgers. They're talking the Peyton Mannings. They're talking the Tom Brady's. And, you know, they're also talking Adrian Peterson. And me, I got to go with Adrian Peterson for the amount of yards that he's putting up. The difference that he makes, you know, again, you know, surgery to repair a torn ACL and MCL in a shattered knee, like less than a year ago, like that fucking guy is unbelievable. So, I mean, I would give him to him for that. Brady, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's Brady. I mean, you could just give it to him every year for being Tom Brady, or, I mean, what do you do? I can't say that the Patriots have looked that dominant all year long. I definitely don't think that that's a valid statement at all to say that the Patriots look like the Patriots all year. Like, you know, I mean, I know we're talking a game, a loss, whatever like that. But I mean, when they lost to the fucking Cardinals, I don't think they looked like the fucking Patriots of old, where Tom Brady was just ruthless. You know, they've turned it up against some teams now at this point, but, okay. You know, just some stuff to, you know, think about. Peyton Manning, yeah, I mean, he stepped right in and made the Broncos immediately a playoff team. I mean, they were a playoff team last year, switched quarterbacks, playoff team again. And, you know, he's continued to just be that on-field general. But again, you'd be giving it to him for being Peyton Manning. It's exactly what he is, you know. They're putting out there, you know, that those outside possibilities to J.J. Watt and Alden Smith, but it's not going to happen. You know, one of those two set the record, you know, they'll be honorably mentioned, they'll be, you know, talked about, but they ain't giving a defensive player the MVP, at least not this year. So, I at least I don't think so. I'd be shocked by it. But, I would say, you know, we're going to end up with hopefully Adrian Peterson, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wound up with one of the usual suspects, you know, like a Peyton or a Brady. Rookie of the year. Obviously, you know, for a long time in the season, I mean, the stats were just going all luck, you know, it was – everything was pointing towards luck because, well, shit. I mean, his stats have been great. He's been consistent. You know, he's made a great transition, you know, coming in as a rookie, you know, putting them at, you know, playoff caliber team right off the bat. So, I mean, you got to, you know, take a look at that. RG3, I think he's just done so much on the field that that's my pick. And I know you can't factor in just pure excitement, but I kind of have that soft spot for that type of player that can just do anything at any time. You never know what's going to come out of this guy. He could throw yards. He could run yards. He could just, I mean, he's got a cannon on him. He's a game changer, and he's one of those guys that you turn on your TV for, and you know, it's not your team, but you know that this guy is going to show you some shit. I mean, he's going to pull something out that you might not have ever seen before. And, you know, he's brought his team to this point where he might knock the Giants out of the playoffs. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, to go into this year and say, all right, yeah, the Redskins are going to beat out the Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys to win that division. I mean, that's some pretty impressive stuff. So, I got to go with the guy. And then, of course, you got Wilson over there. And, you know, he's putting up great numbers. He's obviously bomb. And, you know, just towards this end of the season, he's put up big fucking numbers. I don't think he's been as consistent all year as like a, you know, a Luck or an RG3 was. I mean, just my opinion. I mean, he's definitely a factor and definitely, you know, something that should be considered. I wouldn't just clear put him out and say, no, fuck that guy. But in the same token, like, I don't know, something about RG3 and Andrew Luck has a little more to be said for them, in my opinion. I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you should be excited as a motherfucker because the guy definitely seems like the truth. You got quite a player on your hands there. So I don't think that, you know, you count him out, but I don't think he's going to be up there. And I mean, makes a big difference. I mean, if he turns around and knocks us out of our division lead, I guess you got to take that into consideration too. You know, I mean, you can't count playoffs. So you can't say, oh, what happens when they get there? Because that's not fair. You can't do that. So, I mean, what gets them there? What kind of stuff do they go through to get their team where they want them first year out? I mean, I guess that's where I put where the rookie of the year is. Of course, you can go on just playing stats, you know, and that's obviously, you know, a big part of it. But these guys are all doing beastly things. So my go is RG3. And like I said, a lot of it is, you know, due to excitement. But, I think dude should be calling in, hopefully be calling in. I'm not going to give a lot of leeway on time and shit, because I don't feel like being on this motherfucker all night. But I think what I'm going to do, well, I'm going to take another break in a minute. But another question I wanted to pose is, Where does some of these quarterbacks end up? Where does Alex Smith end up next year? I mean, is he a Jet next year? Honestly, like, you get the feeling like the Jets are just bailing on everything they got. They never even, like, Rex never intended to use Tebow. Now, did they get rid of Rex and then try to go forward with Tebow? I mean, and again, I got to rest on what a lot of people are saying, that he's not an NFL quarterback. He's not the guy that's going to make it happen for your team. He could scrape through here and there, but he's not like that guy. Like, I don't know. So I don't think that that's going to be the move. I kind of think that they're going to go with a different quarterback, and a guy like Alex Smith coming off with the consistent numbers, getting taken out due to injury. I don't see him playing another game there. And where does he end up? He's going to end up somewhere, especially off of the past 2 years that he's had. I would not be surprised to see him a New York Jet. Who else are we talking about? Then where does Sanchez end up? You know? I mean, there's a lot of shitty teams out there that, you know, wind up with one of these guys and try to revitalize them. But it's going to be some interesting off-season stuff going on. There's a lot of bullshit quarterback controversy and just all sorts of blaming and swapping and all of that. So, I mean, really, really going to have to see where it goes. And, so just wanted to, you know, just brush over that real quick. I'm going to play another track, and then hopefully I'll get dude to call in a minute. And I'll do the picks. If not, I'll do the picks. All right. Check it out.
I mean, great. They're having fun. Yeah. What you saying? Fuck.
Listen. It goes. Beast mode. I live by the street code. I beat foes to fuck up when the heat blows. Don't talk crazy on cell phones. Workers get gentle for buck like hell no. Hell yeah, I get that dude, went bald, sell drug, rapper with the attitude.
punch niggas through pizza shop windows. Red Devil Dust mixed with a little Indo. Sean P, call me Kimbo. On drugs, paranoid, who's looking through my window? My nerves bad, English class failure, nigga, my words bad. You herbs had your chance, it's my time. Serial killer theme music, it's my rhyme. In my prime, I'm a primate. Eight nigga with the eight engine, that's my nine. Fuck out of here. Yeah, battering balls. Paul, what's the matter with y'all? Simeon twins, me and my friends shatter your squad.
Make you pull the ratchet out, blood fire, heat you up, then pull the casket out. I'm who you should ask about. I body any rapper and get my paper back like Random House. Put your henny up and burn them trees down. But you lay the beat down, I'm like a beast now. You should not speak now. Zip your lips, God. Matter of fact, log on us. Zipping.com. My watch flush shirt, low kicks, Nike air. You never catch me in tight gear with spiked hair. Tim standard issue, the pimp hand to hit you. So hard it'll feel like a camel kicked you. I get ends and set trends. Roll with smokers that keep butt on the side like Rudy's best friend. Niggas talk crazy like they just popped an ox. Come at me and Sean P like that, you get popped an ox.
Yeah, battering balls. Paul, what's the matter with y'all? Simeon twins, me and my friend shatter your squad.
Yeah, all right, I'm back. Still don't see dude calling in yet. I mean, it's 10:01. He said like 10, so you know. What can you do? But I ain't got time to wait, so you know. He calls in, we'll chat it up. It's not, you know what I mean. But like I said, I'm right there with these picks this year, and I did pick Atlanta. Atlanta is favored by 4.5 points. And I went with Atlanta, so right now I'm in good shape with those guys. I don't expect that to go any other way than the way it's going right now. That's what's up. Now, the next game, you got Minnesota at Houston. Houston's at home, favored by 7.5 points. This was a tough one. There's a couple games in here that were a little tough with me. So I wasn't really sure where I was going with it. Minnesota's going to play tough. They're more scrapping, trying to get in, and Houston's locked. You know, they're pretty much locking on what they're doing. So, 7.5, it's, you know, they got to win by more than a touchdown. So you're going in the direction of like blowout at that point. Not quite blowout, but I mean, stretching a little bit. I'm going to go with Houston on this one. But I'm not really sure how confident I am about it because Minnesota can pull out one of those games like they did against us. Again, Adrian Peterson is just on fire right now. So he comes out with a strong running game. It's going to open up the passing game. You know, Houston's going to have some shit on their hands. Now, again, you got Watt back there, you know, going for the sack title. But again, the rushing game is going to completely open things up. I mean, you can't just be rushing the sack if this guy's blowing through the line on runs. So I think that's going to set the tone for the game. Again, I'm picking Houston. I'm making all the case in the world why Minnesota could win this game, but I'm picking Houston. So that's what I'll go with there. Hopefully I'm not sorry for it. You got New England at Jacksonville. New England's favored by 14.5 points.
You know, New England just losing in New England. They're going to beat the living shit out of Jacksonville. I expect them to put up retarded points, like do one of those, you know, Belichick-type ass-whoopings where they just they don't stop. Like they're just ruthless aggression-type shit. That's what I would expect out of them. So that's all I could hope for is them to do exactly what I would expect out of them. Why is my TV on a completely different fucking channel right now? Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I just got to change back to what I was doing. All right. St. Louis at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5 points. I got to go with Tampa Bay. I mean, they got embarrassed last week. I don't think they're going to get embarrassed again. Not that, you know, just losing straight would be as embarrassing as what last week was, but I think, see, a lot of these teams, you just miss the playoffs. I mean, you could say nothing to play for, something like that, but for a lot of these guys, this is like your plea to keep your job or a job audition for a good lock somewhere else. So I think a lot of these guys actually end up playing harder. One, in frustration to know that, their season just left them. Second, because you don't know where you're going to end up next year. And this is like your audition. This is like your, this is your tryout. If they could look at the end of the season and be like, yeah, I mean, they were out of the playoffs. But these fucking guys are still, I mean, that's the kind of thing I think. So, St. Louis, Steven Jackson's a beast. But, yeah, I think Tampa Bay is going to come back on this one. Like I said, they're favored by 3.5. I think they got that. So, let's see. Yeah, still no call. All right. Let's see. Then we got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. This is a tough one, too. Pittsburgh's at home, favored by 4.5 points. I'm sorry. Big Ben is not looking good. He's not. You know, the fact that he might bounce back, you know, and come out of this, it's possible. But I don't know, man. I just getting beat by the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't the worst team in the world, but they're sure as shit not the best. And let me see where I'm at here. Just want to catch up on one thing. Pittsburgh. Yeah, 7-7. You know what I mean? I mean, they got to be out of the playoffs themselves. You know, so Big Ben not looking good, and it's a lot of issues right there. So I don't know. I personally, I'm going to go with Cincinnati on this one, and. That's just my gig. Hold on, let me see where's Cincinnati sitting. Cincinnati's 8-6. I mean, they might have some kind of chance there. I'm not looking at like actual playoff implications, so I'm not sure whether I'm off on saying that they might have a chance, but definitely more so than Pittsburgh at this point. If anyone does have a chance out of the two teams, it would be Cincinnati. So I think there's just going to be a heavier push on the side of Cincinnati. So I'm going with them on this, you know. So that's that. San Diego at the Jets. It's just terrible. Just plain terrible. Jets favored by 3.5. I got to go with San Diego. I mean, whatever they did against, I keep saying Baltimore. I think it was Baltimore a couple weeks back. That they beat somebody I felt they shouldn't have. Let me look back on this. I know this is fucking highly irritating, but let me look back on this because it's bothering me. I keep referencing this game and I don't know who the fuck it was. Now it's the Steelers. I mean, so again, I mean, maybe another case of these Steelers that just left the game way, way earlier than they were supposed to. You know, left the season, I should say.
way earlier than they were supposed to. So, yeah, I mean, they beat the Steelers. I didn't think they were supposed to beat the Steelers. And, you know, some were like, oh, well, you know, it was Ben's first game back. And, you know, it could have been that. But, well, you see what happened in the second game. So, I don't know. I got to think there's something in that San Diego team that could take advantage of some weakness. And if the Jets don't have fucking weakness, I don't know who does. So, I'm going to go with San Diego on that one. Jets are favored by 3.5 at home. I didn't say that. Tennessee at Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 11.5 points. I got to think they're going to blow Tennessee up. Tennessee's a terrible team, and I got to think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns. So I'm going to go with them. Washington at Philadelphia. Huge implications. Washington needs to keep winning games. And against Philadelphia, Washington's favored by 5.5 away. And I got to expect Washington to go out there and beat up Philadelphia and really, like, convincingly do some shit and, like, put some kind of statement on Philly. Of course, that NFC East is always just such a shootout, and you really you never know. It's anybody's game when it comes to the NFC East. Same thing a lot of times goes for the AFC East. You get them Jets and the Patriots in there, and these horrible Jets will be in overtime with the Patriots once a year. So, I mean, you never know. Or, you know, the Dolphins, and, you know, sometimes the Bills get into it, but not so often. You know, usually it's a shootout. But, yeah, I got to think and hope that Washington is going to come out of that one straight up. So, going with them. Indianapolis at Kansas City. Indy's favored by 6.5. Another real, in my opinion, easy. I don't know if any of these are trap games and I'm going to lose them that way, but I ain't picking against it because I can't imagine Indy's going to go into Kansas City and lose. I can't imagine that. I think Luck's going to have a big, big day. So, Oakland at Carolina. Carolina's favored by 8.5 points. After these 2 weeks, got to go with Carolina. You get a team on a roll like that, I can't be the first guy to go, well, here's where it ends, Oakland. Like, Oakland's coming to Carolina, and here's where your streak ends, buddy. Fucking Oakland wrecking machine. I don't think so. I got to go with a big day by Cam Newton and the Panthers. Buffalo at Miami. This is one of those anybody's game. They've kind of flipped coins on who's going to look good what week and whatnot. It's in Miami. I still think Tannehill's looking better than Fitzpatrick or whatever the fuck Buffalo is doing. So, yeah, I got to go with Miami. 4.5. New Orleans at Dallas. Dallas is favored by 3.5. And, yeah, I think New Orleans definitely goes in there and beats them. These are some shit now. These games are really, to me, and I don't know if it's any bit of arrogance or, you know, anything, you know, getting to the point in the season where I feel like I get these teams and what they're about. And again, like, it's any given Sunday and some of these can be complete trap games. I could be completely off and you just get some crazy lopsided on the other side of the ball. But a lot of these games just seem like no-brainers to me. And I hope that's the case. And I could continue to do what I'm doing in this league. I mean, because, shit, I could use that. I'll take it. So, yeah, that's, like I said, Dallas at home favored by 3.5. I got New Orleans just winning the game. Cleveland at Denver. This is a tough one to me. Denver's favored by 13.5 points. Like I keep saying, Cleveland's a scrappy team. They like to stay in the game. They like to be close. You know, they like to, obviously they're trying to win the game, but they wind up closer to those big teams than you would expect them to be. I'm going to say that this isn't going to be one of those games because, again, you're going into the playoffs, teams are ramped up, they're trying to do their thing. You got Peyton Manning. I think he's going to take apart this young Cleveland defense, even though it's a good defense, and they definitely have some shit on the horizon. Hoping this isn't another one of those games they stay close, because I'm taking Denver.
You got Chicago at Arizona. Chicago's favored by 5.5. I'm going to go with Chicago. Even though they're really an unsure team to me. I don't have a lot of confidence in them, but I sure as shit don't have a lot of confidence in Arizona neither. So, yeah, I say Arizona loses out for the rest of this year, loses to Chicago, and then, you know, not to jump ahead, but loses to my guys. And, you know, that's just kind of what I expect. More so losing to my guys, because to expect Chicago to just, you know, automatic wins against people, I don't know. I can only, you know, can only hope I'm going Chicago. Giants at Baltimore, another tough, tough game. Let me see. What do we got? Yeah, Giants at Baltimore. Giants are favored by 2.5 points. Now, I kind of flip-flopped on this game, too, because I don't – it's tough, man. It depends on what Giants show up. The Giants usually like to turn it up this time of year, so I'm going to have to go with the Giants. But in Baltimore, this could definitely be something else. The Giants are favored by 2.5, like I said. I'm going to Giants. And then, of course, the last game, Sunday Night Football. You have
San Francisco
going into Seattle, our second battle of the season. The first one was a low-scoring game. We came out on top, very physical battle. These teams have both drastically changed since our first meeting. San Francisco's favored by 1.5. And if you need to ask who I'm picking,
San Francisco.
Simple as that. It's going to be a hard-fought game, man. And it's going to be a lot of yelling in my motherfucking house tomorrow night, just like last Sunday night. So, yeah, I think that's about all I got. Like I said, I wanted to keep it strictly football. If I had anything about wrestling, I'll add this. I'm not sure who was drunker on Monday, Ric Flair or JBL. That's my wrestling talk for tonight. So, yeah, like I said, I got, you know, coming up on Wednesday, I got guest co-host Chrissy Rivera. And then the following week, I have guest co-host Yolanda from the Shiznet. She makes the gimmick tees. She, you know. So, yeah, I mean, look forward to those shows. They're going to be a lot of fun, a lot of topics, a lot of different banter, and just lots of fun. So, should be a good time. I think I'm going to end on that. Let me see what I got here. See if I can play something. Wow. A lot of songs. I need to start deleting songs off this fucking thing. I got just like a lot of songs. So I'm probably just going to play something I already played rather than going into something else. And, shout outs, Wrestling Soup, WrestlingSoup.com, check out, The Sports Den with, Chef Dube, Nick Two Scoops Russell, and Roy Herman. You can check them out on Wednesdays, and, Stern Nation, my dude Andrew Carluck, and Steph, Women Love Wrestling with Mel and Corey. Check them out. They're on Blog Talk. Like I said, all these shows, you can just go to the Facebook. They all have pages and everything. And, you know, just get on there, and they'll give you the whole rundown exactly when everything goes on. And so you won't miss anything, because I don't want to. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. And, oh, yeah, and Two Moms One Show on Tuesday, but they're not going to do it on this Tuesday because you're talking Christmas. However, as I said, the day after Christmas, I will be going on doing my thing, and that's what's up. So check me out then.
man. Hold on. Let me get this. I got a call. Yo, who's this?
What? It's Doobie. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing.
John. Just about to wrap up. Shit.
Oh, shit. My bad.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You can go back over some of the shit I was talking about. So, what's your thoughts on that New England game to start with?
The one that's coming up tomorrow? I think it's going to be a great game.
Hmm. Are they coming off of some kind of loss? Is there any fire in their belly or anything?
There was a game last week to get some team out west. I don't know, like the... I think it was
San Francisco.
The 98ers or something.
Was it those guys? Those guys?
Yeah, I think it was. Hey,
oh,
listen.
Okay, yeah.
I am, first off, let me just say that, you know, you actually said it perfectly the other day. Anybody who follows the both of us and watches how we bust each other's balls, they think that we hate each other. Let's just clear that up right now, because that's not the case.
No, it's not at all.
I honestly thought that you were going to call my show on Wednesday and just rip me apart. So
I was going to, but I just Wednesday night I wasn't even in the mood to do my show, so I was just like, eh. And I just got to listen to it today. Now you guys did a great show, but yeah, man. I mean, it was a great game. I mean, I'm not a Brady hater. I know there's a million out there. There's enough. They don't need me. The guy's an animal. I mean, you can't play Tom Brady and expect you just completely, you know. We were blowing you guys out. And when it comes down to it, Brady's going to – if someone could beat your defense, it's going to be Tom Brady, whether it's early and often or eventually. And, you know, eventually he did. So I wouldn't even consider that a weakness on our team. Like, oh, we let him back in. Like, no, Tom Brady started being Tom Brady.
Yeah, it was Tom Brady. It's not like you were going up against, you know, Blaine Gabbert, and he came back at you, you know. Listen, and I've always had respect for the 49ers. They've always kind of been one of those teams that I've always followed anyways. You know, I'm first and foremost a Patriots fan, so let's get that straight, you know. But what a fantastic game from both sides. Like, for us, you know, for our end, to turn over the ball, what is it, 3 or 4 times, and come that close to a team with such a fantastic defense. And I'm not even talking about the offensive side of the ball, because, you know, as much as I thought that Kaepernick was going to do good, I honestly didn't see him performing how he did coming into New England on a Sunday night game in bad weather against Tom Brady in December. Because, let's face it, in December at home, they've lost once in, like, 11 years. You know?
Yeah.
And the fact that he came out with such a fiery offense, like, mad respect for the guy, you know? It goes to show that the people that have been, you know, disagreeing with Harbaugh and saying that, you know, Alex Smith got a bum rap, like, look at the kid. He's obviously the real deal.
Yeah. I still think Alex got a bum rap, but... be it as it may, Harbaugh had something to prove coming off of that, and he's now proven it, that he, you know, he made a decision that wasn't really a nice or politically correct decision, but if that's what he wants to do with his future, then that's what it's going to be, but prove that that's the right decision, and it's seeming to work.
Now, here's my question for you. Where does Alex Smith end up next year? Because I've got a few ideas in mind that I want to see.
The Jets?
That's exactly where I was thinking.
I just said that earlier, too. I'm like, I can't see where they're going to go. Sanchez is probably going to end up somewhere else. They never had the confidence in to use Tebow. I mean, there's the outside
Tebow's,
chance.
Tebow's going home, dude. Tebow's going back to Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah?
I have a really, really strong feeling.
Wouldn't be shocked.
No.
But, like, you know, they get rid of Rex over there. And if Rex is the reason why Tebow never started, that the management actually wanted Tebow there, do they now get rid of Rex and go, now we're going with Tebow, which I don't think they'll do. I think that's a crazy idea. But who had the idea to bring him in and pay him money and
pay
just
him
send him somewhere else the next year?
It was Tannenbaum's idea, and I guarantee you, wow, the Lions have scored. Look at that. Tannenbaum probably isn't going to have a job next year, or at least not with the Jets. Rex probably won't have his job next year. And the reason, a couple of reasons why I think Tebow will end up at Jacksonville, okay? The guy that owns it, he just bought it this past year. I forget the guy's name, but I see his face in my head because my parents live down there now, and we were down there in September. And my stepfather took us, me and my two older boys, to the Jaguars-Texans game. And they've got this guy's face plastered all over the place. He wants to put some serious money into this team and make it a contender again. And, you know, the best way to sell tickets is to bring in a well-known local name. And Blaine Gabbert showed this year that, where he did have a couple of flashes of you know, I won't even say greatness, I'll say mediocrity. He's definitely not ready to take the reins of that team yet. But the team has also shown that when they have someone who kind of knows what they're doing, that they can put some points on the board. So, I don't know.
But you're talking
about
Tim Tebow.
Yeah, but look what he did. Listen, look what he did to Denver when they built the offense around him.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
That was the biggest problem with the Jets, is that Ryan didn't want to have to change any of his offensive schemes. And trust me, I'm not saying Tebow is anywhere near a good quarterback. I honestly don't think he's an NFL-caliber quarterback to begin with. I actually said it on the show on Wednesday. This guy would be better off if you retooled him as like a tight end or a fullback.
Right.
You put him in whether it's an I formation or an offset. That opens up, you know, the possible for a wildcat. He's obviously got great speed, great mobility. He can move when he has the ball. It's just he's not an accurate thrower, and that's his biggest issue. Only problem is, when you're a quarterback, you have to be an accurate thrower, you know?
Well, my thing there is, I think that's something that's going to have to come through Tebow first, and I don't know if he's just going to be completely comfortable with making that transition. I mean, to go to the playoffs, have people saying, Tebow can't throw the ball, and he made some pretty good throws in the playoffs to go, yeah, hey, I could throw the ball. He got himself a job somewhere else. They didn't put him in the game, and now he's going to go, well, I'll be a fullback. I don't see that happening, just clear off.
No, I agree. It's definitely going to have to be one of those things where he agrees to it, and whether it's the right situation, whether it's, you know, a different team or whatever. But, you know, I can't see the guy being a long-term QB in the league and being successful. I mean, he can get a job anywhere. You know what I mean? Arizona, Kansas City. I mean, you name the team. There's probably at least half a dozen teams out there that would take him, but Is he going to be there for long, and is he going to be successful while he's there? That's the question.
Yeah. And if he goes to the Jaguars, are there nice churches in London, or?
eventually there will be. I'm sure if there's not, he'd build one.
Yeah. The Tebow Church of London. But all right. Alex possibly a Jet next year. If not, you know, I mean, you're talking the same type of things, the Kansas Cities, those type of things, or?
Yeah, no, those two teams I was thinking of were the Jets and the Chiefs. Just because the Chiefs, I mean, maybe even the Cardinals, obviously, too. I mean, they were, when they beat the Pats this year to go 4-0, I had actually made a comment, and I don't know if it was on the show or just to a friend of mine, but they were the worst 4-0 team I think I've ever seen play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then what happens? They lose like 9 or 10 in a row. But
I was boiling with the team in our division going 4-0 and them going, well, they're clearly better. They're 4-0. And I'm like, fuck you.
Are you kidding me? They're the Cardinals. No, but Imagine Alex Smith in that offense going with and Larry Fitzgerald actually signs with the team for an extended contract.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a fantastic pairing.
Well, one reason I think he'd jump it going there is he plays the fucking Niners twice a year, and I got to think he's going to be pissed off if he leaves this team.
Oh, absolutely. He's pissed off now, but he's gonna toe the company line because he has to right now. You know, and Miguel, who calls our show a couple of times, he was actually on the show when you called that week that the system crashed.
Right.
He even said it. You know, he's like, listen, he goes, this is this decade's version of Bledsoe Brady. You know.
Oh, well, shit. If we're calling my new guy Tom Brady, then no.
Look at but listen,
I don't know
if you,
about that.
But if you look at Brady's first year, okay, stat-wise, like, I mean, yes, he got wins, but stat-wise, he wasn't all that great. He handed the ball off to Smith more often than not. He had short passes. There were a lot of screens, a lot of 5 to 10 yard, you know, dips and dumps, and he had a really strong defense.
Yeah.
So if you go just by stats alone, Kaepernick has done better in the first games that he's played than Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, well.
And listen, it's a long future ahead of the guy. I'm not
sure.
Crowning him the next Brady, but if you go by that first few games, that's exactly what you're seeing. But
right.
The only difference is that when Bledsoe got hurt, he was definitely out for an extended period of time. Smith, it was like one game, then the second game was, he could come back, but we'll wait on him. Because that was Harbaugh's way of trying to get Kaepernick in and showing everybody that this was going to be the future of the team.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I definitely like about Kaepernick is his ability to run, but not reliance on it. Like, when you see, like, the Cam Newtons, the RG3s, the Mike Vicks, I mean, these guys are tremendously talented athletes. But how hard they get hit on a regular basis because of it is not a good future.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Hold on. Yeah, this guy pulls him out. You know, like he'll sit on it all game. He'll just keep throwing the ball, see a weakness and run for 50 yards. I mean,
He is a pass first quarterback with an option to run. Where guys like you said, like Newton, Vic. And you mentioned someone else, I forget. They are basically
RG3.
Run first. RG3, yeah. They are, the minute they see an opening, they're going to run for it, whether there's an open receiver or not. Their first instinct is to just run the ball. And then they throw if they have the chance. Kaepernick's the opposite. He is a pass-first guy. And then if there's nothing going on and sees an opening, he'll run the ball. And the guy has tremendous speed for someone his size. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've obviously, other than the Patriots game, I think I've been able to see him one other game he was on. And just shocking. He's, what, 6? What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Something like that. He's a big guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And the fact that he can maneuver around like he does, it's you can't, like, what's the word I'm looking for? You can't push that to the side.
Right. All right, rookie of the year, speaking of RG3.
It's tough, man.
It is.
Everyone's on the RG3 bandwagon for rookie of the year. I'm going Luck.
Well,
I think, hold on.
Yep.
I think Luck is... Better candidate for rookie of the year. Look at what he's done to his team. Okay, him alone. Obviously, there have been some you know minor changes here and there, but he was the premier guy that they obviously got in the offseason, and he's already brought them to the playoffs. They won what, 2 games last year? You know,
right.
Washington has always been one of those teams where they're hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had a decent quarterback, and they maybe would have had a running back, and they've done some you know, done some good things. And then they had a really good defense, and, but they've always been up and down. You know, Luck came into a team that was just demolished after Manning got hurt. I mean, there was nothing there. So you bring him in, you bring in Colby Fleener because he had the experience with Luck in Syracuse, and then you draft T.Y. Hilton, who, in my estimation, maybe not now or the next 2 years, but in the next, I'd say, 5 years, he is going to be the reincarnation of Wes Welker. He's got the guy's size. He's got the guy's speed. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be that kind of guy, that slot receiver that becomes Luck's, you know, go-to guy. But look at what the guy's done. He's, like I said, he's transformed a two-win team into a playoff team in one season.
It's unbelievable. It is. You know? And I'll give you that now. I mean, his stats are great, and there's a lot of times that you can look at his stats and they're far better. But I just think you could kind of say the same thing for RG3. You could say the same thing for Wilson. The same thing is like, all right, the Super Bowl champions may get knocked out of the playoffs by a rookie quarterback that goes in there and turns the NFC East upside down and walks into the playoffs like that. I mean, if you end the season like that, he's got to be in consideration. And, you know, the running, obviously the rushing yards he's got on top of the passing yards he's got, you know, is another factor. So I know a lot of it obviously goes into, and I really think this is the contributive factor to his name coming up all the time for that, even though I do agree with it, is the excitement factor. He's not just a throwing quarterback. You turn on your TV, this is one of those guys that, this isn't your team, this isn't your guy, but he's going to blow your mind during a game. You're going to, whoa, yep. I've never seen anything like that. So I think that's where a lot of favoritism comes from. But
it's definitely a coin flip between the two of them. You can't discount Wilson in Seattle, like you said, but I think it's one of those things where he's definitely, you know, if you want to go 1A and 1B for Luck and RG3, then Wilson's a close second, but he's not.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think if he gets anything, he'll get, you know, second or third consideration. He won't get Rookie of the Year, but that's for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In any other season, he would probably be the front runner. But when you've got those, when you're going up against those two other guys, it's just one of those things. It's just a matter of bad timing, you know.
Yeah, he's done great things, but that defense is also pretty stout, and they're giving the ball back to him enough times to make something happen.
Yeah. Who are you afraid of in the playoffs?
I'm always anti-Giant, so I would be overjoyed if they did not make the playoffs. That would be half of a playoff win just to see them miss the playoffs.
They're definitely one of those teams that flip the switch when it comes to postseason. I know more than anybody.
They are. Surprisingly, I'm really not scared of the Falcons. I'm not. I don't know. I mean, my big thing, I think, is the Giants. I don't know. I mean, it could be a lot of things, you know, and obviously bias, but we beat the Packers. You know, we beat the Packers week one, and I think we've still settled into the team we are more so at this point. And, you know, obviously, you know, the quarterback is the one big issue because he can go through growing pains. You go through it in the playoffs and you go home. And there's just that possibility. But as far as what our defense does on a regular basis, I mean, I'm not sold on the Packers defense at all. I haven't been all year, no matter how much, you know, they got Vince Neil running around, you know, making a motley crew out of things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're not that impressive on defense. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's all Aaron Rodgers. And,
the fact that their running game is so inept is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They are who they are without a running game. Imagine what they would be if they actually had a decent running back there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my big concern. I'm just looking forward to it and just, you know, happy to actually be there. I mean, there's so many years that we were with Alex Smith, and this is kind of why I backed Alex Smith, because, you know, two good years out of him after wishing death on him year after year after year. He's throwing picks. He's throwing it 5 yards over the guy's heads, like, every year. And now we're finally, like, a constant playoff team again. It's really exciting for me. I talk shit. I'm like a fucking school kid. I'm like a school
kid. Oh, yeah, dude, without a doubt. I mean, how can you not be? I mean, it's, like I said, like you said, especially when you go so many years without it, it's just, you know, I've been very, very, very fortunate with the teams that I follow that they've been, you know, so prolific, if you want to say, with, you know, whether it's winning the, you know, winning the conference or, you know, sneaking in with the wild card or whatever. But it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because now, you know, you've got these teams like, perfect example, Detroit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've been crap since Barry Sanders retired, let's be honest. You know what I mean?
They weren't that great then.
but at least they had something. They had some shining light.
Sure.
You know, they make the playoffs last year, and it was, you know, joy and you know, adoration, and, oh, my God, they're the greatest, you know. And we don't feel that here. Now it's, well, okay, well, we're going to win the East because we always do, and we're probably going to get one or two of the byes, and if we don't, well, then we'll probably at least win, you know, that first division. And it's almost like if we don't win the Super Bowl, it's a lost season. And listen, that's not a bad thing. I'm not complaining. But I miss that excitement of making it in the playoffs. Like, it's just – it's almost like we're numb to it. It's like we expect greatness all the time. And, again, I don't mean it to sound like that, but it just – you know, like, was it 2 years ago when we got – robbed by the Jets in that first playoff game. Like, it was just one of those things, like, are you kidding me? Like, we were supposed to kill them, you know? But I'm not going to lie, dude. There's one team that I'm semi-afraid of, and it's only because of what happened earlier this year, okay? We, obviously, right now, we're sitting at the 3 seed. Depending on how things work out, we could go to the second. I don't see it happening because a bunch of different scenarios have to happen. And, you know, let's face it, our last two games are against Jacksonville and Miami, so we should win them both. But if anything, we'll drop down to the 4, whatever.
All right.
I'm in Houston, and I'm not afraid of them, like, oh, my God, I think we're going to lose. But where we embarrassed them as bad as we did 2 weeks ago, they're not going to play us again and let that happen. That's the only team that I'm honestly, not, like I said, not nervous, but I think they will be our toughest competitor going in. And after seeing what I've seen the past couple of weeks, I think last week was a preview of the Super Bowl. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, shit, I hope so. Oh, we won't talk for fucking 2 weeks after those conversations. That'd be fucking brutal. That'd be like a fucking 3-day hangover and fucking lots of fucking making up to do. Jesus Christ.
Apology letters to everybody you know.
Yeah, oh, it'd be fucking brutal. Oh, man. But I as a child, man, my fucking team ruled my childhood. It was, you know, team of the 80s was me growing up with – our team was the shit, you know, and – the best quarterback to play the game. This is obviously my opinion, but most agree with me. Best wide receiver to play the game, best safety to play the game. And, you know, just ruling the NFL for the most part, you know, pulling out a couple of Super Bowls, 2 in a row. What else do you want? You know, and then the 90s, we were still the shit, you know, turned into a different team. We were still the shit. We were getting beat out by the Cowboys for them to be the team of the 90s. We're the team that they had to beat every year for them to go do what they were doing. So it was, even though we weren't in the Super Bowl, we weren't dominating the Super Bowl, you know, we were still the ones you had to go through to get there. And that's what the fucking Cowboys, why I hate the Cowboys. But
how lucky were you as a fan and then just the team in general to go from a quarterback from Montana and then have Young as your backup? The transition was flawless.
Yeah, that's
It was perfect. It doesn't happen. Like, it's happened maybe three times that I can think of, and that's one of them. Favre going into Rodgers, and then you know, like I said, Brady wasn't fantastic when he first started, but I mean, first year in after Bledsoe got hurt, he won a Super Bowl, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome, but that was another one of those, and I guess this is San Francisco tradition. We're like, hey, man, no love lost. But just like, hey, Montana, you know, I think you're about at the end here. We're going with Steve. You know, hey, Kansas City has some nice, they got some, I don't know what they got, but go check them out.
They got some good barbecue down there.
Yeah, they, you know, here they like you. They got red. You like red, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, holy shit, that's Joe Montana. You sent him up the road.
You just kicked him out of your city.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, it's brutal, but I guess that's how it goes. You got to make your choices, or, you know, Steve Young winds up somewhere else.
Oh, well, yeah, without a doubt. And you've got to go with the younger guy when it comes to that. But, you know, like I said, you know, most teams, when you lose your franchise, you know, MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, it's a few years before you get somebody either ready to make the transition or, you know, someone who can, you know, handle it. And like I said, it hasn't happened very often in the history of the game. And the fact that, you know, you were actually able to see it in one of your teams, it's fantastic to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, like I said, bittersweet to start with because your fucking hero just got sent home. And then it's like, oh, well, wow, this guy's, look at him. So, yeah, nice transition.
Oh, without a doubt. Sorry, I'm watching the game, and Stafford had an easy throw that he could have made and brought it within one, and instead he ran it. It was third and four, and instead of passing it into the end zone, he decided to try to sneak it and run in, and he got tackled at the two. Dummy.
Oh, man, when we played Detroit this year, I was just making, like, nonstop Spaceballs references because of Jim Schwartz and this whole handshake thing. Raider Schwartz be with you. Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. But, I don't know. Are you at all scared of the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady face-off in the playoffs?
I can't say... I can't say no, but listen, the Manning-Brady head-to-head is something that you always look forward to, whether it's postseason, regular season, whatever. I will say that the Denver team that we played in Week 5 is not the same Denver team that's playing right now.
No.
I will probably – see, how can I say it without sounding like a cocky bastard? I think we're too good. Like,
Boston.
We demolished Houston, who is by far the top in the AFC right now, okay? We came close to beating the Niners, who is the tops in the NFC, okay?
Yeah, horseshoes and hand grenades.
But we're doing it without our primary target. You know what I mean? Gronk hasn't played. Ridley,
oh, I thought that was one of our guys.
Ridley's been giving up the ball like he works on the Vegas Strip. You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you get Ridley to get that confidence back in, which by the way, I think, you know, Belichick has this habit of you know, making you ride the pine when you do something like this. I think the fact that Ridley didn't get a lot of touches after the first half, I think that was his punishment. I think he's going to tear the Jaguars apart tomorrow because their run defense is it's worse than a block. It's got more holes than a block of Swiss cheese. It's just horrible. I think the guy's going to rip off. I think he's going to rip off for about $175 and two touchdowns. He's going to get his confidence back. And you get him there, and they're holding Gronk out, obviously, until the playoffs. You get Gronk back, who's a madman in general, but the fact that he takes so much time, he's going to go out there and he's going to want to rip somebody's head off. And I think if one of the first matchups that you get is you know, Denver, probably in the second round if it works out the way it is, I think he's just going to just tear right through them. But talk about comeback from that guy. I mean, we, you know, Nick and I and Roy talked about it at the beginning of the year, and, you know, we basically said that the first 3 or 4 weeks was going to be the telltale sign on how he was going to come back from that injury. You know, that first game, you come back from a neck injury that could have ruined your career. If not, you know, impacted you personally for the rest of your life, and your first game is against the Steelers, who's, you know, on a good day, their defense is mean. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, he's progressed better than anyone could have expected this year. And the fact that I think the best thing that's happened for the team recently is that McGahee got hurt, because Moreno's been on fire the past few weeks.
Yeah.
So I look forward to the match, but I think in the end, I think that the Pats will end up taking it. Like I said, I think last week was the Super Bowl preview. I think it's going to be the Niners and the Pats.
Yeah, I hope so. Rookie of the Year. Oh no, we did rookie of the Year. MVP.
We did. It's got to be Manning. Has to be.
Yeah.
Another one of the... Like I said, for what he went through in the off season and the fact that he has just gotten progressively better throughout the season, you know, it's you have to give it to him. You know, people are saying that it's, you know, between him and Brady, blah blah blah, you know. Brady's, and I don't know Brady's yards off the top of my head. I know his interception to touchdown ratio is fantastic. I think it's 36-4 or something like that. It's something low like that. But you get, like I said, you get Manning to go into a brand new team coming off of that surgery and to do what he's done this year. It's not even a question.
All right. I don't know. I'm going with Adrian Peterson for the fact of everything he's gone through, and he's come back. And
I totally forgot about him.
Headed for breaking the single season rushing record after tremendous surgeries and everything. And I don't know if you take into medical records. If you do, then that's kind of why Peyton's in the running. The thing is with Brady, you're giving it to Brady for being Brady. I mean, it's
yeah.
It's just kind of what you expect out of Tom Brady. I guess you just give it to him every year because he's still here and he's still just doing what he does. So I get it, and you can't, like, discredit him for that. But in the same token, you kind of got to look the course, in my opinion. And Peyton, again, tremendous. I understand where you're going with that because, you know, tremendous neck surgery. I criticized in the beginning of the season. I said, I'm worried because when it comes down to it, Tebow did what he did because he ran away from the defense that the offensive line was not protecting him from. You know, like, he was rushed nonstop and ran all over the place and made crazy scrambling throws. And Peyton Manning is not that quarterback. So I said, wow, like, they didn't change a lot on their offensive line. They got Peyton Manning, but he's not going to do that. So what happens? Well, Peyton Manning becomes the offensive coordinator that he always is. And he goes out there and he sees the defense and he switches this guy, runs this guy over there. Yay, go block that guy. And he just became the same Peyton Manning he always was, the on-field general. And that's why I would easily say that, yeah, Peyton definitely should be in the running for that because he did that seamlessly. From one team to the next, he just continued to do what he did coming off of a neck surgery. And that's tremendous.
Yeah, totally forgot about Adrian Peterson. It's funny because he's within whatever. It's a couple, you know, less than 200 yards, whatever it is. But
just under three.
Okay, so it's just under 300, and he missed the first game. You know, so if he played the full season, it wouldn't even be a question of whether he was gonna. It would be like, well, is it going to happen in week 16 or is it going to happen in week 17?
Well, you know? and that's another question I got. Okay, we got these couple records. Man, I think I took that fucking window off. These couple records we got. Hold on, single season. We got that one, and his next game is up against Houston. I mean, what are we talking about? You know, I mean, are we talking about him breaking this record? I mean, he's got Houston, and then he's got the Packers, and you know,
it's not going to be easy at all, but it's definitely doable. You know, you think about it, he's gonna average $150 in the next two games.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously a little less, but it's manageable. It's a shot
in the
dark.
And he's 294 yards.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, you know, 147 yards a game, basically.
Yeah.
It's definitely attainable, but it's not going to be easy. And you know, I don't have any stats in front of me right now, so I'm going blind. But you know, is Minnesota in the wild card hunt? Are they? You know, are they playing for something, or is it just going to be for him to go out and get the record? Cause
I think they can make it. I think they can make it, so it does help.
You know, if it's week 17 and they really need the win to get into the playoffs, they're not going to sacrifice a win and get in just so the guy can break a record. So
no, but they need his rushing. If they're
getting in anywhere,
they need his rushing, so.
But I think that he'll do better against the Packers defense than he will against Houston. So
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. If he can squeeze out 100, 110 yards against Houston this weekend, I think, you know, they could try to push it on him a little more against Green Bay and possibly get it.
Yeah, I think if anyone could do it, I mean, those are not the easiest teams to do it against. Again, I'm not sold on Green Bay's defense, but, I mean, you were talking about the Texans defense that, you know, can be scary at times and can do some things. I it's going to be a hard road to climb, but like I said, if someone can do it, it's AP. Or as Nick calls him, Purple Jesus.
Purple Jesus, yeah, I love that.
I laughed my ass off to that line. He came out with that shit like he's always been called that. And Purple Jesus is going to, I'm like, oh my God, this guy. He's mad at buckets, and he pulls Purple Jesus out. great guy.
Yeah, dude, This is the best time of year. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, it's Saturday night, and you know, albeit it's the Lions that are playing, but there's football on at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. It doesn't get any fucking better than this.
So another record, actually, in course of happening right now. I don't know what he's done tonight, but Calvin Johnson started this game with 1,667 yards.
He's already got over. He's been killing it. He had over 100 about an hour ago.
Wow! And he's going up, you know, against that 1,848 yards. So, yeah, I mean, he very well break my dude's record. You know.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, let me put you on speaker and see if I can figure it out.
All right.
I mean,
you know, not to be a dick, because that's, you know, that's a constantly said thing, and obviously it'll come up because it's my dude, but a lot of people have said, you know, the rules have changed so much in the NFL that you can't even guard a wide receiver anymore, and, you know, maybe. Huh?
You sneeze on the guy now, and it's a 15-yard penalty.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, it may play into guys getting some more yards, but, you know, who knows? I mean, this guy's a beast. There's no, like, hey, this guy's nobody, but you can't touch him. Like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, it might play into it. Jerry Rice was just a fucking scientist on the field. Like,
oh, of course. No matter whether the record gets broken or not, a stat is just a stat. You've got to take other considerations, and that does not mean that Jerry Rice was any less of a wide receiver.
No,
he was by far the greatest wide receiver ever to grace a football field. I don't care what anyone says.
I definitely believe that.
How many yards did he need to break the record?
Well, he had 1,667. I don't know if you got a calculator. And the record was 1,848.
Okay. Well, he's already got 178 tonight.
Well, yeah, he's surely on his way. That's a lot.
He's definitely, if not already beaten it, he's within maybe 10 yards.
Wow. That's
Yeah, nine receptions for 178 yards. No touchdowns, of course. Because that's just what he's done this year. Ridiculous.
He's not Chris Carter.
Well, dude, and here's the thing. If you watch how close he's come to scoring touchdowns this year and gotten stopped short, I think a lot of it had to do with him losing a few steps because of the hamstring. But there was probably eight or nine instances that I've seen this season where he got stopped at, like, the two-yard line or the three-yard line from getting a touchdown.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, man. That one's likely to happen.
Yeah. There's 7 minutes left, and the Falcons just scored to take a 27-16 lead. So it's 16. So it's going to be 28-16. 7 minutes left. They're definitely going to go to him just to try to catch up. So he'll break that tonight.
Yeah, I'd imagine. And then the last record that's up for, you know, debate that my guy's up for, Aldon Smith and J.J. Watt, are sitting at 19.5 sacks, three away from Michael Strahan's 22.5. They're both animals at this point. Is one or both going to break this record, or what's going to happen? I mean, we got two games to play, three sacks to put down. Obviously, you know, we play the Seahawks coming up, and then we finish out the season against the Arizona Cardinals.
I can see them getting three of the Cardinals alone.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope we get one against the Seahawks and then just finish it over there. But
Russell Wilson is very mobile. So
right.
I'm not saying that they're not going to get any on him, but they're better off trying to get it against Arizona, because like I said, their offensive line is just horrendous. So it's definitely a possibility. If you're going up against a different team with a stronger offensive line and a better quarterback, then it would be a little tougher. But I could see one, if not both of them, getting it.
Yeah, and the Texans, they're playing the Vikings, you know, this week, and then they close out against. They close out against the Colts.
Ooh.
So
I have a feeling that your guys gonna do fare a little better.
Yeah, I having Arizona in that next two games is definitely a plus.
Exactly.
And the awesome thing about my dude, other than just being biased because he's fucking my guy over there, he donated. I don't know if you know he's donated $5,099, because 99 is his number, to the Boys and Girls Club in San Francisco for every sack. He's up to like $99-something thousand, like almost $100,000.
That's fantastic.
So that's, yeah, I was like, you know, second year player. I mean, you could just be a huge douchebag in your second year and be like, I'm a fucking man. And meanwhile, he's, you know, he's putting it in. He's trying to set a record on top of, like, really doing some difference. I love that.
And you know what? That's what I was going to say. Like, and those are those, you know, I hate to use the term that I'm going to use, but it's the only thing you can say. But it's those feel-good stories that make you realize that not every professional athlete is a gigantic douche, because
right.
there are plenty that are out there. Trust me, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
you got guys like that you know take their own money and they're trying to, you know, not only motivate themselves, but they're trying to get some good out of it as well. Like,
right.
You've got to give the guy credit. Then you've got, you know, again, you know, obviously not a just got picked off, and it was going to him to beat the record. That is horrible.
That's
too bad. You know, obviously I have no love loss against the Giants, you know, just because of what they've done to me in the past. But you've got to give a guy like Victor Cruz the utmost respect for how he handled everything in Connecticut and, you know, going down there and donating the cleats and donating the mitts and signing them and just going out to visit the families. Like, you know, who are they to him? You know what I mean? They're fans. They're, you know, no one. And he took time out of his own life to go down there and show them, you know, just how that affected him. And I'm not going to lie. I heard about the story about what he did on my way into work. I want to say it was Monday morning. And I started to well up in the car, because you don't hear stuff like that anymore. You know what I mean? And I obviously what happened was just a devastation to any – you don't even have to be a parent to feel that way. But even if you are, it's that much worse. But to hear someone like that who, like I said, he could have just, you know, done nothing about it and, you know, sent a card or something. But go down there physically and deliver the stuff, you know, hand to hand, it's just like you've got to give the guy credit. And, you know, it makes you wish that there were more guys like that out there, that's all.
Yeah, like I – it was a couple of weeks ago, and I forget the actual total, too, but Arian Foster had, like, he just decided, like, he was just going to go on, like, a toy shopping spree, and he did it for the, kids displaced due to domestic violence, and, like, more or less, like, they don't have home, you know, they're in foster care or whatever, and he had, like, receipts over his head, like four receipts that hit the floor, like, he was holding over his head to the floor from, like, Toys R Us and shit, like, here's what I did. And, you know, some people are like, oh, why do you got to show it off? It's like, dude, I don't – how many people show off just getting to the end zone? I don't care if you show off. If you're helping children, show it off. Show everybody. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. And then you've got guys like – I mean –
he shows off
guys,
his fucking push-ups.
Yeah.
Where'd that go?
You've got guys like Antoine Walker who's low through $110 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
Just, you know, some people are class acts, man. And I don't care how much they show it, because people need to know that there are actual good people that make money, because so many of them don't.
Yeah, like you said, and there's so many DBs in professional sports that, you know, you should flaunt it when you do something good, especially if it, listen, whether it's for, you know, hunger or, you know, cancer research or whatever, when you do something for kids, it just makes it that much better.
Sure.
You know, it just, and maybe it's the father of me talking, I don't know, but it's just, I respect you 1,000 times more if you're going to do something like that affects a bunch of kids' lives than if you just go and visit, you know, whatever, you know. I just...
It's funny to me, man. It's like sometimes, like, you get like, hey, man, he served his time. I know he killed dogs with electricity, but he served his time. And then it's like
that guy's a douchebag because he high stepped into a children's hospital with $1 million check. Like, what? I don't understand. I don't like the way he's smiling at them kids with all that money.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
That rich smile. You shouldn't be smiling at those kids. They're sick kids. Don't be smiling.
But Vic served his time. Leave him alone. Jesus Christ. But anyway, I want to go over, you know, a couple of these tough games. A lot of these games just seem like complete, like, just easy guesses as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. I mean, I could just run down all of them. I've done mine already. But obviously we got tonight. I honestly thought Atlanta was just going to just run on them. And for the most part, they are. They're going to close out. I mean, they're only favored by 4.5 points. So they're going to do that. Minnesota at Houston. I thought this was kind of a tough one. Houston being favored by 7.5 points. I went with Houston, but again, I mean, you got, you know, AP doing what he's doing and could very well be a close game. Minnesota fighting to either get in the playoffs or whatever they're doing. I'm not really sure exact predicament what they're doing there. I know they're right on that cusp, but Houston being Houston, I mean, what do you got there, man?
What was it? What's the line again?
Houston's favored by 7.5.
That's a big spread. Now, see, when we go with our picks on the den, we just go straight. We don't do do lines. But if you trust me, 7.5. That's a big spread. I'd take Minnesota on that one.
All right. Yeah, I got Houston just because you know. You guys beat them up, and they got some statements to make before the playoffs start. So I think, you know, this might be one of them. And I don't know. It's one of those that I might regret it because I spent probably 10 minutes telling everybody why Minnesota is probably going to beat this spread and then pick Houston. So I don't know.
Without not giving a reason, I'll give you a couple of reasons. One, Houston's basically sealed their fate. They're the number one seed. It doesn't look like anyone's going to knock them out of there, okay? They've got it. So they've got, in essence, they've got nothing to play for other than, like you said, to try to prove a point that, you know, getting blown out by New England is really who they are.
Right.
And on the other hand, you've got Minnesota, who are fighting to get in the playoffs. They're fighting to get AP this record. So every game that they play, I mean, only two left, but every game that they play means something to them. So whether they're going to win outright or not, I don't think so. I think Houston's going to end up taking the actual win. But if you throw the 7.5 in there, I think they're going to make it close enough to make it a fight.
I mean, you know, valid point. That's why, believe me, I said the majority of that and going, but I'm still going with Houston. So I'm going to kick myself on Sunday most likely. Well, I'll just put this out there because the spread's so big. But New England-Jacksonville, it's kind of a clear fucking New England win. But New England's favored by 14.5 points.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm still taking the bets. I just...
Yeah, me too. Me too. I expect like a New England blowout, especially coming off of fucking last week.
Jacksonville, it's like I said, Jacksonville's just so bad. So bad. Drew, you know, MJD's hurt, you know.
Yeah.
You've got Gabbard's obviously down. They've done better with Feely, don't get me wrong. But it's just they're not a good team right now. And, you know, the shining light on on that Jaguars team are Justin Blackmon and Cecil Shorts. And I don't see them doing anything against New England. They'll be lucky if they get into double digits.
Yeah. St. Louis, Tampa Bay, I just, obviously both of these teams are fucked at this point. You know, what I said before is, like, a lot of these teams, you know, once you miss the playoffs, people are like, well, they ain't got shit to play. Well, a lot of these teams are either auditioning for a new team or, you know, putting up their stakes to stay on that team the following year if you just missed it. Who's the problem? What do we need to replace? What, you know, so those type of things. I think Tampa Bay's a better team, so I think a lot of more of those guys are going to show up for this game and win it.
What's the line?
Tampa Bay's favored by 3.5.
Yeah, I like Tampa. I honestly have a feeling that they're going to win outright anyways. Whether they're good enough to, I don't know. I don't, like I said, I don't have anything in front of me. I think they're one of those teams that's kind of out of it now, just because of the past couple of weeks. But if they can sit there and try to ruin someone else's hopes, whether it's St. Louis or whoever else they're playing, in week 17.
These are two beaten teams. Neither one of them have a shot.
But like I said, I like Tampa just in general to take the game to begin with. So I have a feeling that he needs 4 yards to break the record now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, there it is on my TV.
Like I said, I like Tampa outright.
Cincinnati Pittsburgh. This is another one of those tough ones for me because, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not the Pittsburgh Steelers of they're gone too. I think I don't think they're even playoff bound at all.
No, they are. They're in the hunt for the wild card.
Really?
There's Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Let's see. The Jets have a very, very slim chance of getting in, I think.
I think the Jets are gone, man. They're 6-8.
Maybe it was that as of last week. They needed a bunch of things. But the
Jets are 6-8, and the Steelers lost again, which put them at let me see where are they at. Jesus. Yeah, they're 7-7. I don't know about playoffs. Playoffs?
Hold on, I'll tell you right now.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, just for Demora. Give me 1 second, and I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, for sure. My thing with the Steelers is, they just lost to the Chargers heavy, like pretty well they lost to the Chargers. And then on top of that, they turned around and lost to the Cowboys. That was two losses in a row down the stretch. I don't think they have a chance.
Right now, the only teams that are in the hunt for that second wild card, give me 1 second. Right now, you've obviously got Houston and Denver, New England,
what
Baltimore.
Is, for the wild card? What are you talking about?
No. I'm saying who are definitely in right now. Right now, the four teams that have locked in are Houston, Denver, New England, and the Ravens. Okay.
Yeah.
If it ended right now, Cincinnati and Indy would be your two wild card teams.
Right.
But in the hunt is Pittsburgh, and Miami's is a long shot because they're 6-8. But Cincinnati right now is projected to be the sixth seed. They are 8-6. So obviously, if they win the next two games, if they win against Pittsburgh, it's over. But if Pittsburgh beats them, then it's going to come down to what happens in week 17. So
Cincinnati is a wild card situation.
Right now they are the sixth. They are the projected sixth seed.
Okay, they're not even wild card then, or no, they are wild card.
Yeah, they are wild card. If the season ended right now, would be Indy would be the fifth seed and Cincinnati would be the sixth.
Okay, so this is coming down. Like, this game has complete playoff implications on the line.
Oh, without a doubt.
I'm not gonna
lie. I like Cincy in this game.
I do.
I think I very much do. I think even with Roethlisberger back, I don't think he was ready to come back. Number one, number two, I think he's a lot more hurt than he let off to anybody. I watched probably the first half of the first quarter of his game last week, and just every throw that he made, even the ones that his receivers caught, they were just bad throws. I counted, I think, six balls that he just dumped right into the ground in front of people. He just, mm-hmm. his shoulder isn't where it should be right now. Their defense is suspect because they're hurt, and they're not the team that they should be, number one, but they're definitely not the team that they have been in the past.
And that's my main point with them. I'm not sure if this is the falling finally of Ben Roethlisberger, but I mean, you know, he's fallen off a motorcycle with no helmet. He's raped chicks. What has this guy not done? He's like living a complete, like a Dennis Rodman lifestyle. And, he's been a big beastly quarterback that's hard to take down. He's been mobile, not as much anymore, and he just keeps scrapping through. He's like just gladiator. And eventually, like, you get taken down by somebody. And I kind of think that's where we're headed. He was fantastic at his best, but I don't know. Maybe he comes back next year and he's still Big Ben. Who knows? Because he's a tough-ass dude. But I don't know. The Steelers are not the Steelers.
Definitely not. I think what he needs in the offseason is that I think he needs to hit the club a little bit more because, you know, when he was out there doing all the stuff that he shouldn't have been doing, that's when he was actually a good quarterback. I'm kidding, obviously. But
he needs to hit the opposite bathroom a few more times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's going to hide in that stall a few more times and see what happens. But listen.
Couple proms.
The Bengals have, you know, their quarterback is decent. He's not flashy. He's not fantastic, but he's got AJ Green, and you don't have to be fantastic when you've got a guy like that on your team. All you've got to do is put the ball near him, and he will get it. Okay,
you've got Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
What's that?
Dalton's pretty good for a ginger.
Yeah, he is, and you know they're all evil. You know, you understand.
Yeah,
right?
They have no souls, and he throws Quinn Ball for having no soul.
They don't. They're made of fire. That's why they're that color.
Yes, there you go.
But you've got the law firm, as we used to call them here in Boston, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who's a serviceable running back. You know, he's not top five, not top ten, but he gets the job done, and he doesn't turn the ball over very often. You know, it's funny because I don't think he actually ever turned the ball over when he was in New England, and that was one of the things that he was very proud of. He would talk about that in interviews, and the local sports station here has a the morning show. The guys are called Tucker and Rich, just like fantastic, very talented, funny guys. They had him on. They had him on as for an interview one day, and he had said that at one point he said that they hadn't fumbled a ball since high school, and the week that he fumbled his first fumble in Cincinnati, like 5 minutes later, they had gotten coverage of like one of his college games where he fumbled like three times in a game.
Oh, wow.
So they called him out on the next show. They were like, he lied to us. He's like, the our entire relationship was based on lies. But he doesn't drop the ball often, and he, like I said, he gets the job done, and he can get the ball out of the backfield. So going up against that depleted defense, and the fact that, like I said, just Ben Roethlisberger isn't the same guy that he has been in the past. I think they're going to get knocked out of the hunt this week, and I think since he's going to take it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Next up is San Diego at the Jets. The Jets are favored by 3.5 at home. I don't know why. Again, San Diego beat Pittsburgh two weeks ago, and then Pittsburgh lost to Dallas, so kind of deflated a little bit of that San Diego win. But in the same token, they had something in them to take advantage of a weak team as they did in Pittsburgh. If a weak team is not the New York Jets, I don't know what to tell you. So I got to go with San Diego.
Oh, without a doubt. And listen, let's face it. The only reason that the Jets are even favored is because they're at home, and Vegas automatically gives you 3 points for being the home team.
That's worked out all year for them.
Yeah. Oh, that was almost a touchdown. Let's face it. I don't even know this quarterback's name that they've got lined up for.
I forget. I knew it like earlier this week, and then I forgot before showtime. And I tried it, and I'm just like, whatever the third guy is, that guy.
Not only did we forget, but I think half the team forgot as well. San Diego, listen, they're not a fantastic team, and I've said it all year long. They're the kind of team that they either start good and end crappy, or start crappy and end good. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's just they've always been like that, and. It doesn't really matter what they do because, number one, they're not going to make the playoffs. Number two, if North Turner doesn't lose his job, he should consider himself one of the luckiest men in America.
Yeah.
Because after 4th-and-29 against Baltimore and them letting Ray Rice run that short pass and make a first down on 4th-and-29, I honestly thought that they were going to fire him that day.
Like, hey, timeout, you're fired. Right then.
Like, just call him and do it.
Coach's challenge? No, not the coach challenge. We challenge the coach, like, right now. Like,
we're challenging employment. That's what we're challenging.
Yes.
But again, the Jets are just, they're a bad team, dude. They have no receivers. They have no running game. They have no defense. The coach is a joke. The upper management is a joke. San Diego's got this game. If San Diego loses, I will be very, very surprised.
Yeah, I got San Diego, but it is a joke. They might as well run fucking Ryan Leaf out of the Wildcat and beat the Jets with that. Like, just for shits and giggles.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, where did he come from? Remember that guy? There he goes. All right, Jets. Good night. But yeah, Tennessee, Green Bay. Green Bay's favored by.
Sorry.
Oh, look at that. Jesus Christ.
Listen, I just need Detroit to lose by less than 10. That's all I need.
What do I need? Detroit needs to lose 4.5. I just need Atlanta to keep it 4.5. Yeah. That's all.
Green Bay and who?
Green Bay is playing. Holy shit, where am I? Tennessee at Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 11.5. You know, in Green Bay, I got to go with Green Bay. You know, putting 2 touchdowns on Tennessee.
Yeah, they're another one of those teams where they're just not good. Whether
at all.
No, not at all. Locker, again, he was one of those guys that at the beginning of the year he had flashes of brilliance and he looked like he was going to, you know, take the team somewhere, and then he got hurt, you know? And it's hard to describe, to decipher whether a guy like that is just coming back to come back and prove that he can play or what. But when he came back, he wasn't the same guy, and it showed. You know, you've got Chris Johnson, who Nick on my show likes to refer to as CJ Zero.
Oh, he hates him.
Well,
that whole
team
is shit, though. I don't think it's his problem. Like,
no, it's not that it's his problem. But I mean, you've got this guy who, you know, you want to talk about a drop off of epic proportions. I mean,
well, sure.
This rivals Sean Alexander from, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know what I mean? It's going rushing for over 2,000 yards or close to 2,000 yards, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's putting up games of, you know, 45, 50 rushing yards. Like, what happened? But regardless, even with, you know, a less than stellar Green Bay defense, you can't expect that that Tennessee is going to put up many points against his team. So even with such a big spread, I would take Green Bay.
Yeah, me too.
Washington and Philadelphia. Oh, huge implications for Washington. Philly just being Philly. Washington is favored by 5.5 going into Philly. Oh, yeah, Washington. That's
almost a cupcake game. I mean, you can't Philly's playing for nothing. They're lucky they won that one game that they did win against Tampa. I think it's a fluke. I've called it for weeks before that the Philadelphia Flyers were gonna win their first game before the Eagles won another one. But obviously, I was wrong.
It's funny because there was like a stretch where like they went on like a losing streak like early, and they were like the Philadelphia Phillies have won a game. More recent.
I remember that.
It's great because it crosses all Philly sports that the Eagles have been fucking terrible this year.
That's another team where, like, Reed's gone next year. You know, the owner already said it, like, you know, listen, we're sorry. You know, your offseason went like it did. You know, obviously the loss of your son, blah, blah, blah. But 8-8.
We're going to give you time to grieve, like, forever.
Yeah, 8-8 isn't going to cut it this year. So if you don't do better than 8-8, you're not going to have a job.
Here's the thing that I posed earlier too. Do you think Reed or what's the other fat guy?
Grinnell?
No, fucking Jets.
Ryan.
Asshole, Ryan. They end up somewhere else. I don't think Reed has another job in the NFL unless they put him like offensive or defensive coordinator, but.
I don't think he'll get a head coaching job right away. I think either one of two things are going to happen. If he gets canned, which will probably happen, he's either going to take some time off and kind of deal with, you know, personal family stuff, and you know, maybe he gets a commentator job or, you know, analyst or whatever. But
What the fuck do you know? The guys just turn him and go, what the fuck do you know?
Don't do what I did. This is me analyzing. Don't do whatever I would do in this situation. Do the opposite. That's what you need to do. I think, like I said, I think he either takes some time off and does that, or he steps down and becomes like an OC or a DC. I don't see him getting another head coach job for a while.
Right.
Same thing with Rex Ryan. I think he becomes
that early.
Yeah. I think he becomes a defensive coordinator somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, you know, guessing what team. Obviously, it's too hard to decide. But
right.
You've got guys. You've also got guys that have been told that they're not going to, you know, be employed after, you know, 2 weeks from this, you know, from tomorrow. Anyways, you got Cornell, who was basically told that he's not going to have a job after week 17. Pioli is out of a job as well after week 17. I wouldn't be surprised if either Cornell or Ryan become the new defensive coordinator for the Pats.
Yikes. Imagine.
I would laugh.
Rex Ryan.
Did
you see that Adam Sandler movie?
I have not, but I want to.
Oh, it's funny. It's really funny.
He's like
especially the lawyer. He's like super, hey kid, Boston. He's one of those guys. And,
isn't he like a lawyer and like a wicked Belichick fan or something?
Yeah. Like he's got a Belichick
bobblehead,
I think. Yep. And a Brady poster on his wall.
That's fantastic.
And he's like, hey man, don't touch that. That guy's a genius. He's like, oh, it's the funniest thing, man. And Sandler's a Jet fan, so he's like clearly hired him to fuck with, you know.
Oh yeah,
fuck with the guy on like his own. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that Adam Sandler has the power to do that makes him even that much better in my book.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But,
so anyway, Washington, Philly, like I said, Washington favored by 5.5. Washington.
Yep.
Indy, Kansas City. Indy's favored by 6.5. I can't imagine them not being the Chiefs by a touchdown.
No, you could bring that up to 10, and I'd still take Indy.
Yeah, I would think so. Oakland, Carolina. Carolina's favored by 8.5. Carolina.
Yeah, Oakland's horrible. I mean, the best thing to come out of Oakland is the fact that Janikowski got me into my my finals of my fantasy football last week. So.
Well, there you go. A lot of field goals.
Yeah, exactly. It got me 20 points. So, yeah, no, I'd ride Carolina at 8.5.
Yeah. Buffalo, Miami. It's one of these who gives a shit games. Miami's favorite, 4.5. I think you flipped a coin on the show. but Miami's favored by 4.5. They're at home. I think Tannehill's more valuable at this point than fucking Fitzpatrick or whatever the fuck they're doing over there. And I'll just go with Miami.
Yeah, I like Miami in this for two reasons. One, they've actually been one of those teams that surprised me this year. I knew going in that they were going to be better than they have been in the past. But Tannehill, with a little bit more, you know, conditioning and fine-tuning, he's going to be a decent quarterback in the league.
No, he is.
Yeah, and he, like I said, he's already better than a lot of people expected him to be. He's definitely already better than Fitzpatrick. So I would take I'd take Miami in this game. And like I said, it's a long shot for them to get in the playoffs, but they are in the hunt, so they've got something to play for.
Reggie Bush had a lot of fire under his ass until Deshaun Golston fucking German suplexed him when we played him. And then he kind of slowed down. Like, he seriously, he German suplexed that fucking guy.
I think he needs to call a Kardashian.
Oh, my God.
Pat interference.
Huh? Oh, there you go.
I'm watching the end of the game.
But, yeah, man, if you watch Deshaun Golston on our team, he put some fucking hits on people. Man, it's unreal. He did some shit against Arizona. And apparently, like, they got into, like, a scrum last year, and Deshaun got kicked out of the game. I think they both got kicked out of the game for getting into it during the game. And it was the game during Hurricane Sandy, and I was just, like, fucking nerves on edge, and no matter what, like, I barely even was watching the game. My power was blinking on and off, and I just kept the TV on and shit. And and he damn near killed this guy on a hit. Deshaun Golston is laying hits all year long. It's bananas. You watch this guy, it's so entertaining.
Fantastic out.
Yeah, if they were like, yeah, he has bounties, they'd fucking lock him up because the way he's hitting people this year. Like, they'd be like, well, yeah, surely, because look what he's doing. But New Orleans, speaking of bounties, New Orleans at Dallas. Oh. And Dallas is favored by 3.5 points. I mean, I got to go with New Orleans. I'm not sold on New Orleans whatsoever. I think they have so many holes. They're, again, not the New Orleans of last year. They were putting on bounties. They can't tackle a fucking guy this year. So it's crazy. And, you know, Dallas is pulling off their wins here and there, and they're trying to scrape by. But I don't think they're going to beat New Orleans.
Yeah, no, I can't. The fact that Dallas is actually favored in this, you know, New Orleans has, obviously, it's been a disappointing season for them.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you don't have your head coach. You lose, you know, Jonathan Vilma for a bunch of games, and you know, just all the outside stuff that's taken, you know, effect and. I honestly picked them at the beginning of the year to be one of those, you know, not elite teams, but at least playoff contenders. Obviously, not the case. But Dallas is just one of those teams, and it seems like every time I pick them for anything, they just kick me in the sack and disappoint me. So I'm going with the Saints on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's partially too because I have one of those bias. Like, I hate the fucking Dallas Cowboys because of the 90s. I hate the Giants because of times, you know, even in the 80s, you know, the Jim Burt fucking Leonard Marshall fucking, like, these guys trying to kill my fucking hero. Like, that shit ain't cool. So, you know,
shit like that. But either way, Tony Romo is not going to win a Super Bowl ever.
Oh, no.
It's not going to happen.
Well, the only way that guy's going to get to a Super Bowl is if he buys a ticket.
Yeah, you could buy a ticket. He can get a sweet box. You know, he can get a luxury box. I'm sure he's made enough money at this point. He could rent it out and bring Jessica Simpson back or whatever the fuck he wants to do. But you know,
yeah.
I mean,
it was funny because Jerry Jones said it, I think, at the beginning of the year, and you know, said that the Cowboys' window of winning a Super Bowl is slowly closing, and I think by
slowly really
was, yeah. I think my exact comment was, well, as long as Romo's your quarterback, you can just spackle that window shut with cement because it's not opening up again.
Slowly closing. Well, shit.
Yeah.
You have a weird gauge on speed because that shit is going
yeah,
pretty fast.
He's old. I think he's got the early onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. So.
Sure. Next game is Cleveland at Denver. This is another one of those tough ones for – you know, reason I'll tell you, but Denver's favored by 13.5 points. Now, I do think Denver, you know, is a pretty strong team, and, you know, Peyton Manning always makes you a pretty dominant team. Cleveland, I really have a lot of faith that they're going to be a really good team within the next 2-3 years. And three is a stretch because I really think they're going to be good. They're a scrappy team, and they have lost a lot of games, but they've lost a lot of games by, like, under 7 points against good teams. So it's hard for you to put them out and just say, yeah, 13.5. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I am going with Denver. But it's scary because Cleveland will stay with you for a lot of times. Like, they will. I think that defense is kind of lined up. They have, like, a rookie or a second-year quarterback, too, right?
Who?
Cleveland? Yeah.
It's I can't think of the guy's name. He's a rookie.
Whedon?
It was,
Whedon.
Whedon, yeah, Josh Whedon. He's like our age now. He's like 28. They took him,
our age, minus.
In the first, what's that?
You said our age, and you're like, yeah, minus, you said 28.
Yeah. No, I know, then I said, I'm just kidding, he's 28. But they drafted him. He was obviously, you know, a late bloomer, so to speak. But they drafted him in the first round. It was their second pick, but it was still the first round after they got Richardson.
Right.
They're in Denver, right?
Yeah, they are in Denver.
Now, I'm gonna 13.5 is a big spread, but I'm gonna stick with Denver because you know what? As good as Richardson is, they're playing in Denver in December. That dude he hasn't played there yet, so he doesn't know, you know, playing there. You know, you talk about playing at home and, you know, playing away when you go to Seattle, how, like, their fans are the 13th man and that stadium is the 13th man. No one talks about Denver Stadium being that 13th man. That air is so thin there. That guys that
not the fans,
before,
it's the air.
No, but you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, because normally they say the fans, but
yeah,
no, they're frozen and
no.
Dead.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got their own oxygen masks. Whedon too. He hasn't played there, so he doesn't know how difficult it's going to be to adjust to that thin air up there. I think
cold too, though. So
what's that?
Cleveland can get pretty cold, too, so, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, but there's a difference between being cold and having, you know, that high altitude.
Thin air.
I got you. So, yeah, no, I like Denver in this, and I like them to cover the spread.
All right. Yeah, I got you. Chicago at Arizona. You know, Chicago's favored by 5.5 points. I'm going with Chicago because they're playing Arizona, but otherwise I wouldn't go with Chicago for anything because I have no confidence in what they're doing. They blamed, like, a lot of their slumps, like, oh, they're a different team without Jay Cutler. They're a different team without Jay Cutler. And then Jay Cutler came back, and they were the same shitty team. So
exactly.
I'm not really sure that, like, we're just going to go ahead and say, our quarterback is awesome, but he's just away right now. He's on vacation. And when he comes back, you're in trouble. Like, no, that didn't happen. So
no, it did not.
But, yeah, 5.5. I'll go with Chicago just winning against Arizona, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're like you said, you know, if it was a different team that was, you know, a little more prolific, I may pick against them. But the fact that the Arizona Cardinals, I've got to go with Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. This is one of the toughest ones this week. The Giants at Baltimore. Giants favored by 2.5. And I flip flopped on this a couple times. Both teams have two sides to them. Like the Ravens can look really good. The Giants can look really good, and obviously the Giants can look really bad and get shut out last week, and the Ravens can look really bad. But I don't know. Even at Baltimore, I gotta think the Giants are gonna turn it back up. This is gonna be one of Eli's games, and I'm going with the Giants on this one.
It has to be that game that he flips the switch. Baltimore's already clinched their playoff spot. They're not really moving up or down in the seeding at all. They're kind of locked in where they are. New York, on the other hand, they're in the hunt right now, but if the playoffs ended today, they'd be out. They'd be looking in and going, wait, we're not ready yet. This needs to be the game where he flips that switch and becomes the two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback that he is. Even though it is in Baltimore, whether Lewis is ready or not, they've already said that they're keeping him out until the playoffs.
He's out the next two games straight up.
Yeah. Suggs is back, but he's still, you know, hurt. You know, it's just the fact that the guys come back twice from injuries that would end other people's career, not careers, but they end their season, and he's done it
mm-hmm.
in a few weeks. It just, dude, whatever they're doing to the medical staff down there, like, wherever they're getting their, you know, HGH because it's not tested for, I want
yeah.
some. But still, I like the Giants in this game. Like, it's one of those games that they have to win, and I think this is going to be that statement for him. So, let's hope I'm wrong. That way, it keeps them out of the playoffs. But
I also hope against them. So, like, well, I'm either going to win this pick, or I'm going to win because I don't need to see the fucking Giants in the playoffs. So, like, one way or the other, it's really good for me. So I'm going to go with the win-win situation, and I'm definitely just going with the Giants, you know? So, yeah, the last game we have...
San Francisco.
Up against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Now, we have gone in there, and we didn't go in there, but they came over to us, and we beat them once this season. It, you know, two completely different teams. Both of our teams have changed drastically. Let me see. What is the spread anyway?
Same spread has to be favored.
Yeah, but we're favored by 1.5, so we're talking like a win. You know?
It's a pick, yeah.
So... that's what it is. I mean, it's just completely different games, completely different teams. Seattle has really ratcheted up their thing 100%. Obviously, you know who I'm going with. But my thing is this. Like, Seattle put up you're getting some Chris Berman. Look, you got Seattle. They put up 50 points 2 weeks in a row. Look. You know, they haven't seen the San Francisco 49ers. This is the same shit that they said about the Patriots. And we play football. We play hard-nosed, fucking hard-hitting football. We have a defensive game. So when it comes down to it, like, you're not going – I know you just scored 50 points 2 weeks in a row. Congratulations. It's not happening against San Francisco. So,
not for nothing, though. One of those teams is the Bills. I mean, let's – 50 points against any team is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but it's not like you scored 50 points against a Houston or a Patriots or a Niners. It's against the friggin' Bills. So let's just pull the reins back a little bit on the fact that they've scored 102 points in two games and look at the matchups that we're going up against.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And it's like, you know, hey, man, like, it's going to be a game. It's going to be very physical. Our first game was very physical, low scoring. A lot of people are calling this is going to be low scoring as well. I don't know if I actually completely agree with that. Our offenses have ratcheted up at this point. It's going to be physical. And I think it's going to be a shootout. Of course, I got to go with my guys. I can't just go against my guys and we fucking, you know. In week 16, I can't just be like, all right, yeah, we're losing this one. But so I got to go with my guys just off of just sheer bias and the fact that you got to be confident going at this point. So I'm going with my dudes. And like I said, we play hard fought football. Our defense is going to get it. If we can get a Tom Brady, we can get it the rookie. I'm just saying, like, he might be playing really good, but come on, man. If we put up that same type of performance against the Seahawks that we put up against the Patriots, I don't think they're making a Tom Brady comeback, you know? And
oh, no, without a doubt.
We're no robots. We can't do that every week, but just my thing is what we're capable of. Go ahead, man.
This was my coin toss of the week. Because of the fact that...
I was so mad when you did that. I was like, the coin tossed my ass. We just beat your fucking team. You mad?
and here's the thing. This is the kind of game where Kaepernick being a rookie, him, you know, obviously only coming in a few games ago, this could be a game that he comes in, and I don't know, because obviously I'm not, you know, I'm not around them, but there have been those teams that... after being on such a high from a win like they won against the Patriots. And, you know, let's face it, you know, they beat a good team, so you're excited. Some guys have a habit of going out the next week and flopping. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's been known to happen to some guys. Whether it happens this week or not, I don't know, which is why, because of the fact that, like I said, even though it was against the Bills and I don't know who the other team was, but they put up 100 points. Yeah, so they couldn't have been too good. But they play each other hard when they do play. And because of those two contributing factors, I had to go with the coin flip. In my mind, I have a feeling that the 49ers are going to take it, just because obviously I think they're the better team. But all those other factors, you know, I'm not going to change my pick. I'm going to stick with the one that I picked on my show.
Right.
So I'm gonna go with Seattle. But
breaking news. They beat the Cardinals 58-0 the week before.
Oh God.
So clearly those were that should define
stellar
what they are.
Those are game changers right there.
Yeah. I mean, we beat the living shit out of the Bills, the Jets, and the fucking Bears, but you know, that's fine with your fucking Bills and Cards.
Yeah, like I said, just to stick with, you know, with my pick from the show, I'm gonna pick Seattle, but I honestly I don't believe it 100%. It was just I flipped the coin and that's what showed up, so that's what I took. So I'm gonna stick with it, but if it's one that I lose, it'll be a loss that I'll go, I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah. Hey, man, like, I do expect it to be a hard-fought thing. Like, I could talk a lot of shit. Like, yeah, we beat you once. Okay, you beat the fucking Cards, and you beat the fucking Bills heavily. That's fucking adorable. Like, we beat both of those teams. You beat one of them a lot more than we did. And you know, like, we didn't score that many points against the fucking Bills, but we beat the shit out of them, too. Like, settle down. And we already beat you, so... You know, I only hope for the best. It's my fucking team, so, you know, what more can you want from me? I don't know. We got predicted between the two of us, Super Bowl is fucking Pats and Niners. So, life is good.
Yes, trust me, you know, if you told me 10 years ago that we'd be in 5 Super Bowls, have 3 of them, you know, three rings in perennial playoff teams and
so contenders. Wait, your team loses Super Bowls?
Yeah, twice.
Oh, we don't do that.
Yeah, that's okay.
If we get there, we win. That's all we
not
do.
Not this year. No, not this year.
well, shit.
Listen, and
it's hard if we make it there.
I think I said it to Miguel. You know, the one thing that Belichick has in his hat is if he loses to you in the regular season, he won't lose to you in the playoffs. And of course,
you know
he
what?
Goes. He goes. I think his response was, "Oh, is that why you guys beat the Giants in the regular season and lost in the playoffs?" I said, "Yeah, but we beat them first. That's not what I said."
yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you had the same logic as that the Pats do not lose in December. What are you fucking crazy? They just don't do that. Like, well, you know, things happen.
Listen, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right. Or for however many years your records hold up. Oh, it's all good. It's all good.
Hey, listen. Let's save the Super Bowl smack talk to when we're actually sure that they're going to be in the Super Bowl.
It's only a preview. It's only a preview. Just a teaser for what's to come. But,
oh,
hey, man.
Fine. Dude, we'll throw bets out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Differences, I mean, you know, like, did you hear the bet that we made with Nick about the –
When is
the,
that – I don't watch college football. When
neither,
is
neither
that
do I.
game?
It's sometime after the New Year's Eve, I think. I don't know.
Just update. Send me a text or something because I don't watch college football at all. But I'll watch
and
that.
Do
I hope that happens.
Can't you tell by my reaction when they talk about it on the show?
When you hit a drive through while they're talking, like, yeah, well, I'm gonna go get some food or something.
Yeah, dude, I put the mic on mute. I just make a phone call.
I can't imagine following a football team that their entire roster has to change every 4 years.
Oh,
at the very least.
And most of it does.
I just
most
can't.
Of it does before that, no, absolutely not. But
I mean, if you got family that went to the school or you went to the school, I get it, whatever, but I'm not a school guy. So,
yeah.
Hey, you know, hey, man, what do you want?
The only college sports I follow are I follow some local college hockey just because one of the kids that was actually drafted from the Bruins, I worked with his brother.
Yeah.
And so he goes to BU. So you know I'll kind of pay attention to them, and I'll watch March Madness just because I'll throw $10 in the pool and you know, do the brackets. But other than that, I could care less about any college sports. I have no dog in the fight. So, you know, interesting, you know, entertaining games maybe I'll watch. Like if it's Notre Dame and you know, like if it's like a Notre Dame BC game where it's televised because it's local, I'll watch it. But it's not like if I miss it, I'll go, oh man, I can't believe I missed that game.
The last college football game I watched, and it was fucking awesome. But you kind of see how that ended up. Was fucking the USC and Texas game where it was Reggie Bush versus Vince Young, which they're, you know, phenomenal athletes in the NFL. You know, Reggie Bush is, well, he's doing okay right now and getting German suplexed by my guy. But other than that, Vince Young is clearly, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, I mean, we're talking MVP, so.
I mean, If he's not in the talks for MVP and comeback player of the year, I don't know who is.
Yeah,
right
when you get a guy
that,
like a couple of years,
right
it's like, yeah, he was in his house threatening to kill himself, and it's like, oh, well, that's awesome because I was just watching a game and he was really good.
You put him up. You put him up there with the guys of the same, you know, nomaker of, you know, Tim Couch and Ryan Leaf.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jamarcus
Russell.
Players.
Jamarcus Russell. Just unbelievable.
Where did he go? Is he dead?
He may
is Jamarcus Russell dead? Like, is it what?
He is the Oakland fans.
Well, I'm sure he is, but Jesus Christ. Like, he just went away altogether?
I don't think he's in the league. Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I don't think he's an active player in the league.
That's bananas to me. I mean, they made such a big deal out of him. He got hurt, way stupid early, and then was, rehabbed and came back, and it was, really didn't do well, and then just, yeah, you know what? I'm done with football. This is bullshit.
I got my $56 million signing bonus. I don't have to work a day in my life.
I guess. Jesus. Oh, man. That's a sad thing. I only watch football and basketball, but basketball only starts after football ends. That's what happens with me. I just watch people jump around about fucking basketball. I'm a Heat fan. Nick could talk all this shit about his fucking Knicks beating my Heat, but, we'll see come playoffs. It's all cute early season.
No, I don't. Okay, you'll have to explain this to me because I kind of get Nick's background to it. You live in Jersey. You're a Niners fan.
Oh, here we go with this. Oh my God.
No, just explain it to me. I don't get it.
I will.
So I'll give it. Did you grow up in Jersey? Are you?
Yes.
Have you lived there your whole life?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You want the Niners? You want the Heat explanation? What do you want?
Well, the Niners one I can kind of follow just because of, like I said, we're the same age, so you kind of, when you're younger and you're impressionable, you kind of go with the team that's winning and that's who
but
you
no,
follow.
But my grandmother, when I was a kid and stuff, she had went to Notre Dame and stuff, and she had really gotten into stuff, with that, and she got into Montana, and she was just a ridiculous fanatic, and she was actually the only person. My father was never into sports, my mother was never into sports, so my grandmother was the only person that actually fed me into sports, and she was all about the fucking Niners because Joe Montana went to fucking Notre Dame, and that was the shit, and she was just all about it, so I was I was so into it, and that was my Niner lineage, it led me into that, so
just
pretty clean cut, as anybody else's family would bring you up a certain way, that's how I went. So as far as basketball, it's weird because I really I bounced around in basketball and I liked watching it, but I really didn't have a solid team for many, many years. I liked Gary Payton. I liked, there was a lot of players I liked. I liked, the whole Sonics thing and the Sean Kemp thing, but I really wasn't a Sonics fan. And when Shaq came out, this just sparked me. It just became my dude. And I was just that's my motherfucker right there. And I followed him his whole career from team to team. And I was just wherever he goes, I go. And I was this is my dude. So I went from every fucking team. I got other than shit. What am I missing? I know I'm missing one team that he was at.
Celtics.
I don't think I have the Cavs Shaq jersey. But I have all
the
other jerseys.
Do you have the Celtics one?
I don't. Yeah, I just had it. No, I do have the Celtics one.
You do? Okay.
Yes, I do.
I think you were the only one that bought it.
Yeah, probably. Dude, I'm a Shaq fanatic, dude. And then I started making the decision because obviously I've seen his career winding down. And I'm like, okay, when he retires, I'm going to pick one of the teams he's been with, and I'm going to stick with it, and that'll be my team forever. Now, obviously, Lakers were kind of all my thing because, shit, he won a lot of titles there. But I'm like, you know what? I respect the Heat more as a team than I do the Lakers. Kobe's a fucking cunt. He's one of the best players to ever play the game. He always will be. But he's a fucking asshole. He's the guy who bounced Shaq out of fucking L.A. He bounces everybody out of L.A. He retired Phil Jackson. This was earlier this year, which again, I'm not watching basketball, so I don't have the actual game and team and all that. They were losing the game. He just walked the fuck out. They're supposed to do the handshakes and stuff, and he just walked the fuck off the court.
Oof.
I mean, Kobe's an asshole. He just is.
he's another guy. Hey, I've raped a chick. So what?
Yeah.
You know? And it is what it is, man. I just think Shaq, in my opinion, was the best big man to play the game. I know that's a hugely controversial fucking statement, but whatever. He was severely dominant. Nobody wanted a part of him in his prime. And, you know, and he's also a hugely fun-loving, good dude, you know?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I've always been a fan of Shaq. But no, like I said, it explains it. It just when I hear of you know like Nick, he lives in Chicago. He's a Knicks fan, a Yankees fan, and a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. It's like
that's yeah. I mean, well,
and no, but yeah. there are obviously reasons behind it. But you get someone like me who, listen, I've always followed all four sports, okay? As I've grown older, the order in which I like them have changed. But I will always pay attention to my teams. I'm a homebred Boston guy. I follow all four Boston teams. But I've also always had like a secondary team that I pay attention to. Okay. Baseball,
mm-hmm.
I've always lived and died by the Sox. When I was growing up, the other team who was it? I honestly forget now. I want to say it was the Cubs. And it wasn't like I would, you know, search out for games or whatever, but I would always pay attention to how they were doing. Maybe because it was the whole, you know, the stupid fact that, you know, we went 86 years and they're going on like 100 now. And it just, they kind of, both fields have, you know, been around for 100 some odd years and they both need to be torn down and rebuilt, that kind of thing. They're kind of similar. They're similar to me. Basketball, it was always the Celtics. And, I mean, there was never really one team. Obviously, you know, late 80s, early 90s, it was the Bulls. Then, you know, as much as I hated the Lakers because they were our rivals, they were just such a good team that I couldn't not watch them because they just played such good basketball. Football, obviously, it's always been the Pats. And it's funny, it was actually back when Breeze was with San Diego, I was a huge fan of Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of followed him rather than a team. So my secondary team would right now would be the Saints. Just because I've always – I think he's a stand-up guy. I think he's a great player. But I think he's got the right attitude when it comes to being, you know, one of those, like, step-up kind of guys.
Sure.
And then hockey, it's always been Bruins and Kings. It's been like that since I was a kid.
Yeah. I don't like hockey at all, but I don't know, man. Like, I've always been more of a, like, a player guy other than the Niners. Like, actually, like, and maybe this is part of, like where I've gone with the basketball thing and stuff, and even baseball, and you know, brief you on that real quick, but my grandma, as a diehard 49er fan that just fucking completely, I mean, put that shit in me. And she's like, fucking, they got rid of Montana? Well, fucking, I'm a Chiefs fan, dude. You're not going to get rid of fucking our hero, Joe Montana, and have me fucking sitting here like, oh, that's okay. Like, she would get fucking mad as hell. Like, she got mad, like, There was a time like you remember when they got co-MVPs at the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Rice and Montana.
And Montana.
She was like fucking pissed off, and then the next year Rice like played a joke type shit, and he came out with a Montana jersey and the helmet on, and the fans cheered, and he pulled his fucking helmet off, and it was Jerry Rice, and she's like, "That's not right. That's not right. Like, you don't disrespect Joe like that. Like, why would you do that? You know, the fans want us to see Joe, and I don't." She's like, he's a great player, but I don't see where that was needed. Like,
dude,
she was diehard Joe, man.
Dude.
Like, she was.
She was, man. She was phenomenal. I fucking love that woman. That's why I named my first daughter after, you know? I named her Mary Jane. It's not after a substance. It's after my fantastic grandmother. So that was her deal. So maybe that's like kind of where I got that. And baseball, I was raised a Met fan, and you know, 86 Mets, all that stuff, and you know, bathing and that shit. And then my guy, you know, the guy that I picked that I was fucking diehard on was Lenny Dykstra. So I'm like, yo, this guy's fucking awesome. I mean, he's diving headfirst into fucking first. He don't give a shit, man. This guy's, like, bouncing off the wall with his face. Like, he's retarded. Like, this guy, he's about the game. He might not be the biggest home runner hitter in the league, but this guy's balls out for this game. So I'm like, that's my guy right there. And nails, tough as nails, you know. So I'm like, yo, that's my guy. And then when he went to Philly, I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm a Philly fan. And I did that for a couple of years. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Then, you know, him and Darren Dalton crashed the car into a tree and all drunk and shit. And that was pretty much the end of his career. And now he's, like, embezzling money, or I don't know what he's doing. But and it was fine. But, like, I also, like, after that, I kind of trailed off the Philly thing because I really hate Philly fans. And it just happened to be the way it took me, but I liked the Indians for a while. I liked Albert Bell and that whole thing. Like I have a handful of fucking baseball jerseys. I have Griffey, I have Bonds, I liked all these guys. I was more of a player guy than I was a team guy.
Yep.
And I just kind of like, but the strike killed me. I was going to Yankee games, I was going to Philly games, I was going to Met games just because it was a good time. And the strike just, it took it out of me. When it came back, it was like, yeah, I found other shit to do. And it was just too boring to me. Like, too long of pauses, too much. And I was just like, fuck it, I'm all done. And I can't even get into it.
Yeah, I will, I'll go to maybe one game a year now. Yeah. I'd much rather, maybe it's just because, you know, it's so goddamn expensive now, but I'd much rather take my kids to a we have a single A affiliate called the Lowell Spinners, and they're about 10 minutes
the
from my house. The Lowell Spinners, it's a single A affiliate of the Red Sox.
Okay.
Tickets cost $8. You literally get to sit right behind the dugout of the Spinners team. They'll sign, you know, they'll do all the autographs, everything. Parking's $5, you know. Everything's very cheap. I can go in there with, you know, two of the kids, get, you know, snacks and food and all that, get a couple of autographs from the guys, and I'll spend maybe $50 on the three of us.
Nice.
Where if I buy tickets alone to the Red Sox game, it's going to be $150 just for the three of us. So it's one of those things that if I can get a pair of tickets for one game, I'll go. But otherwise, we're going to the to the one up the street. I can't be bothered.
I hear you, man. And we actually have one over here that's supposedly like a really, really beautiful stadium, the Lakewood Blue Claws. It's not far from here at all. And it's I mean, my brother like turned into like a late term baseball fan. He's like a huge Yankee guy, but I think it's like the Philly offspring. And the Lakewood Blue Claws, the stadium's probably maybe 15 years old tops, and like, yeah, it's, from what I hear, it's beautiful and it's not far away, but you know, I just haven't made it out there. I really, like I said, I haven't gotten into baseball. I'll probably go out there, you know, at some time or another, make a day out of it. And it's going to be a good time.
Like, you don't like, I'll take, you know, like my middle kid, Jason, is six.
Mm-hmm.
I took him last year. You know, we get the tickets and whatever. And we're eating some snacks and whatnot. And, you know, you don't feel bad when it's the sixth inning and he turns to you and says, "Dad, can we go? I'm kind of bored." You know, because he's six. He's got the attention span of a six-year-old. So, you know, it's, you don't feel like, oh, I spent all this money and we're going to stay. It's like, I spent $8. Like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he had his fun. He got, you know, he got to sit down and see what he wanted to see, and he's ready to go. So, like, okay, let's go. You know, you don't see that at a Sox game when you're dropping, you know, $45 a ticket. You're like, no, we're staying till the end. I don't care if it's you know, 18 to nothing. We're staying. You know.
Right.
But and listen, I've always been a hockey fan, always. I put it perfectly. I think I described it perfectly earlier in the year on the Den. What hockey's doing lately, it reminds me of
not playing
an abusive. Yes, it reminds me of an abusive relationship, and I'll explain it to you before anyone jumps down my throat. The hockey
they're
fan,
beating you, but you like it.
Yes, and well, that's what it is. The hockey fans are the ones being battered, you know. Hockey itself punches you in the face and goes on strike. And then we say, we're done. We don't love you anymore. We're leaving. And then hockey says, I'm sorry. Let's fix this. You know, please love me again. I'll change. I swear. We won't do this again. And then we as fans were like, okay, we forgive you. We love you again. And then 5 years later, you punch me in the face again and do it all over. And it's a vicious cycle, you know. And
so you ice almost have no season, right? Is that what happens?
Yeah. It's frustrating, dude.
I'm sure it is. If you like it, I don't give a fuck about it. But, I mean, shit, I would imagine it sucks.
Oh, dude, it
that's why I disconnected from baseball. I'm like, oh, fuck yourself. Yeah, I find other shit to do.
Before this lockout, hockey was probably at its highest in 15 years. It's just, that's the thing. You're still going to have guys like me who are the diehard fans that when it comes back, we're going to be all about it and we'll go to the games and we'll pay attention and everything. But we're always going to be there, and they know that. It's those middle of the road guys that could take it or leave it that are the ones that are gonna tune out. You had a team in the Kings who hadn't won ever. And they're going off this playoff high, and they're fantastic that they won, and everybody was back into hockey again. And then you got this, and now it's just are we going to get any games in? You know, like
no one.
No, I don't think we are either. But,
no one wants games.
I read a an article.
Hey,
by
the way, big up Megatron. He did break the record tonight. So, man, you're a beast. Fucking, you obviously listen to my podcast, because who doesn't? And yeah, man, shout out. You know what I mean, big respect.
Know,
he did.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Now you just need AP to take care of his end.
Yeah, dude, yeah. If you're going to break my fucking records, everyone else needs to break these other fucking records.
Exactly.
You know? Not mine, because I was running routes for Jerry. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, you were the one catching the ball, running the routes.
Yeah, dude, I told Jerry where to go.
you were
like,
his dude, name.
Up and left. Like, come on, man.
Watch out behind you. That's coming. Run faster.
Yeah. Break.
Boston businesses lose on average anywhere from $850,000 to $1 million per home game that is not played. That has nothing to do with the actual stadium or any of the concessions. That is local businesses around. My restaurant that I work at is about a 10-minute. It's two or three train stops, so it's a 5-minute car ride, 10-minute walk, whatever. We actually commission one of those like 150 seat buses for every single home game, and those home games would bring us an extra 25-30% business for the day.
Yeah.
So that's extra money that we're not getting anymore because they're not playing. You know. So
oh shit.
My company put, I want to say $400,000 into a brand new bar, just ripped out the entire half the restaurant and just really revive.
Oh, motherfuckers should be drinking because they ain't got no hockey. They're like, yo, I'm depressed. I ain't got no hockey. Drink.
Yeah.
You know?
But that was the hockey game would bring them there so they could drink, go to the game, not have to worry about getting a DUI because the city that I work in.
No, because the bar is clearly fine to drink and go home from. You're okay.
Well, no, because what I'm trying to say is the area that I work at, the area that I work at is a lot. Most of the people that come in are all they're all walkers. There's not a lot of people that drive, so they'll come to us, get the free ride over there, so they don't have to worry about anything. Get all liquored up, and then come back after the game and get liquored up some more.
We're
hitting them twice because they're pre-game and post-gaming. You know,
yeah.
So it's frustrating because now we're trying to build sales, we're trying to get more people in there, and it's just without the hockey, it's killing us. It's just we're banging our heads against the wall. But they don't, you know.
I can't imagine where football is not fucking doing it for you though, because like football is a million times bigger.
Yeah, but it's only one day a week.
So what?
You know what I mean?
Oh, but hockey's like is all week. Is that what they do?
No, there's at least two home games, you know, a week. And if not, then they come in for all the other games that are playing and sit and watch.
You know what's the weirdest thing is I've actually been to, I think, two professional hockey games. I've been to countless professional baseball games. I've been to, I think, two or three professional basketball games. My favorite sport professionally is football, and I've never been to a professional football game.
Really? This is probably the first year since 2001 that I haven't made it to a game.
I wanted to do Jets Niners. I really wanted to, and I tried to reach out to other people who were doing it, and they just fucking no-sold me. And I'm just like, oh, fuck you then. And just left
yeah,
it at
no,
that.
This year I was out on medical leave for 14 weeks from I had surgery on my ankle. So I took a little bit of a hit because I was, you know, obviously taking less money from the short term disability than I would from my regular pay. So I just couldn't swing it when it came time to get tickets. But I've gone to a game every year since 2001. It's fantastic. It's one of those things where I couldn't do it more than once a year because I'd much rather sit in front of my big screen TV and watch it in HD. But just the experience, the whole tailgate and hanging out with your buddies and all that stuff, it's a blast.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're in the area where your team is, where everybody, you know, is it Joey? Joey's been one of my biggest critics. I've gone on tremendous fucking rants on fucking Facebook to him. He's like, why do you even like the Niners? They're nowhere near where you live. And I'm like, so I should only watch Joe Pesci movies. I should only support fucking Bon Jovi, Billy Joel, and just keep it. We'll just leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
That's all I should like. I should only respect people who were born in my area, is what you're saying.
Yep.
So, like, because my parents fucked where I'm at right now, I should only like what the fuck happens around here. Like, really? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you trolling me, or what's happening?
Oh, God.
I get so fired up off of that shit, dude. That's like one of my things. I'm just like, oh, what do you mean I can't like shit over there?
No, but that's the thing. You have certain reasons for it. You know, there are just some people who like teams for no reason.
They're winning. I like them.
I don't know. I like them. You know, you've got a background to it. There's other reasons why you like the teams you like. It's not just I like that team because they won a bunch of championships. You know?
No. Shit. You know? It is what it is. But yeah, man. I think we're about to wrap it up at this point. Man, holy shit. I was going to wrap it up at like fucking 10:15, man. So this is fantastic that I've gone to 12:23.
my time because I'm older. thanks for calling in, dude. This is fucking awesome, man. Plug your whole joint, man.
Oh, thanks. Well,
I already did that.
Hear me?
Do it again because you'll do it better.
I'll plug it anyways.
Yeah.
You want to hear me? You can hear me as along with Nick Russell and Roy Herman on the Sports Den. We broadcast live Wednesdays at 10 p.m. You can find us on you can find the link. It's ustream.tv/channel/sportsden. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Den Show, and you go on Facebook and type in the Sports Den and join the page.
Absolutely. They'll keep you up to date on all that shit. And, man, they hit baseball. They hit hockey. That ain't happening right now. But when it comes back in 2 years,
we'll cover it.
They'll tell you about it. I mean, these guys, they cover so many angles of sports. I'm just a shit-talking football fan. I'm up to do it. But these guys, they got stats. Fucking Nick is crazy. I mean, he gets on some shit, you know, and
oh, yeah,
of course he drinks that red Kool-Aid and purple Jesus and all that stuff. It's plenty of fun. There's
and,
a lot of colors going on.
Absolutely, yeah. We get between the purple Jesus and the maroon Kool-Aid, and
yes.
We also have Christian Simpson, who is he's got a website called The Daily Blitz. He does a weekly breakdown of all the NFL games. We also have. Yeah, kid's 21 years old, and he breaks down football games probably better than anyone I've ever spoken to. The kid is just fantastic. And then you
putting the walrus on my TV again.
Yeah, tell me about it. and then towards the end of the show, we Nick or I or both of us will go into the chef's corner and share some recipes because obviously
I continuously make these fucking peppers. I need more recipes like that. I'm not into fucking making sugar bacon or whatever the fuck you doing with bacon, goddammit. I don't need to make bacon a dessert. Goddammit.
I am making those this weekend, by the way, just because I have to try them.
I don't give a shit, man. Like, fucking peppers and cheese and sausage and shit. That's some fantastic stuff. That's some Sunday stuff. I got motherfuckers drooling all over the internet. I'm like, hey, man, don't give me credit. You know what I mean, you want them, come over, but shit, that's that dude's shit right there. But come on, man. Bring me some more Sunday food. I need, what do I need? I need.
This week I'm actually breaking down some chili.
Chili's fantastic, dude. I'm all in.
So
I'm all in. Let's
tune
go.
In. Tune in Wednesday night, and you'll get a variation of one of my chili recipes.
One of. Well, you email me the ones that you ain't fucking hit me with, all right? Because I love some fucking chili, man. That's normally – a lot of times I've done chili and those poppers, and it was just like, you know, Sundays.
It's so easy. They're so easy to make, too.
Oh, yeah, man. It's just fantastic. And I started them, too, with sweet peppers, too. So I do, like, half and half. Like, with the
oh, yeah,
the red.
The tri-colored sweet peppers?
Absolutely. So I do
those.
I turn my 9-year-old daughter on them. She's like, these are really good. I'm like, yeah.
Awesome.
She's like, have 3 of those for me when you do them. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, you know. And you can, you know. Your mouth is burning a little, you know, the pepper's a little kicked up, because it depends on what batch you get, you know. Sometimes they're crazy, and sometimes they're, you know, you can really scarf them, but, you know, sometimes you need to break it up, and those sweet peppers make a really good little break there, but yeah, again, man, I mean, thanks for calling up, man, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad I could finally.
Made a fantastic Saturday night for me, and anytime, man. I know I normally do the show on Wednesday, so it makes a hard go because the Sports Den is on Wednesday. But, man, I'll do extra show anytime, man. We'll do this thing. We'll have to do it sometime during the playoffs. And playoffs.
Oh, without a doubt, man. Yeah, absolutely. Just let me know beforehand. We'll get it done.
Yeah, definitely. I'll get Nick on, too. Fuck it. Yeah, I mean, we'll do the whole crossover, you know?
Trap, without a doubt, man.
Everything. So, yeah, man, again, have a great night, man.
You too, man. I'll talk to you later.
Sweet.
All right, take it easy.
Peace. All right, so that was my dude. He goes by Chef Dube because he's a chef, and that's his last name. Just a fantastic guy. I have called this guy a faggot more times in this past month than you could possibly imagine, and he's called me a faggot just as many times. We have a great time. You know what I mean? Like we talked such tremendous shit, and that's the type of people I like. Like we get together and talk so much shit about football. I like football. Well, no, I love football, but I also love football shit talk. Like I've gotten into it with guys like Homicide. He's one of those dudes. When it comes to me talking shit about football against the Giants, I immediately hit Homicide up. Dude, Juan Rosa too. My dude Ali, immediately. You know what I mean? Like, all these guys, like, they get it. They get it fucking all day. You know what I mean? Like, this is what happens. And I enjoy it. It's shit talk. Yo, I was hurt when we fucking lost in the playoffs last year. Shit, it happens, you know? But it is what it is. This is why it's so fun, because your emotions are invested in it. You do the thing, whatever. All right, I'm calling it a fucking night. Check it out. I already gave all my plugs. Check it out on Wednesday. I'm going to do the thing. Wow, Jesus Christ. Homegirl Chrissy Rivera is going to be my guest co-host. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk a bunch of shit. Yeah, you know, you got to check it out. It's fantastic stuff. You already know. So I'm going to play you another track because why wouldn't I? You know what I mean? That's kind of what I do. Go with this one. Peace.
Time. But just so the record company should know that video is in demand.
I know that thing.